Oh, he's going to be the old man. He's the kid. I know you're proud of the ball player he is, and you guys are connected very well to the point that every game you pitched in college, I believe, this year, you threw to him, and you guys are both. Tell me a little bit about that experience, both at the same college.
It was interesting, like, because I was never able to play with him just because of our age difference, and having the break I had and being able to go back and play more college, especially with him, it's, I don't know, it's fun. It's exciting to see him back there throwing signs at me every day, so it's pretty good.
Crown College, tell us what that's like for you, what it's been like for the two of you.
Oh, it's entirely different experience. It's very small, very rural, but definitely good to get away from everything and just appreciate what you don't have, you know, out there compared to here, yeah.
And getting to play some baseball. Now, I haven't talked to the coaches about this, but I get a feeling that it's a growth test for you. You haven't thrown to Kyle the last couple of times, and so how difficult has that been?
It's not really that difficult. The key is, with most catchers, is finding out where your pitches go the best. You know, if an inside fastball works better than the outside fastball, or throwing your curveball outside or inside or up and down, that sort of thing. When you work with a catcher for so long, they understand how you throw and what works the best. And then it's just learning that again with new guys.
Nice. The season has a lot of baseball left in it. And there have been a rough couple of games, this series particularly, games that you know you could have won. Maybe some would say you should have won. The bottom line is, what's the learning experience to this point, and what do you want the rest of this summer to bring to you as a ball player and, I guess, as a guy?
Well, the key is just consistency. You know, control what you can do and try not to do more than what you know you can do. That's about it.
Do you feel any extra pressure being one of the older guys on this team? You know, you have to lead by example. You, Tyler Thompson, I think are probably the two older guys.
I wouldn't say pressure, but I feel like everyone's a younger brother. And, you know, I'm kind of used to that part. So I just treat them all the same. Just show them, you know, the right way to do things and show them that the little things are that mean everything.
I appreciate you taking the time, man. Good luck the rest of the summer. Looking forward to seeing you toe that rubber many times in this summer ahead, summer collegiate baseball action. We've been speaking with Nick Schrodel, the pride of UPrep. And, of course, he's pretty much been the 1-2 starter. He and Eamon Velarde, I think, are front-ending that rotation right now. We'll be back with the starting lineups and more for tonight's finale of this series, the third in a four-game weekend homestand, if you were, as it were. And we'll have all those lineups and more when we come back. You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
And now back to more Colt 45 Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back to Tiger Field. Let's take a look at the starting lineups for tonight's game, Game 3 between these two teams. They will meet again next week, in fact, in Humboldt County. For the visiting B-52s, the Bombers, Eric Smelko out in center field to start the game. Cody Banks hits the second. He's at second base. Brian Orr, a teammate of the Colt 45 starter tonight in college, is their DH hitting third. Jeff Giacometti is at first base. The cleanup hitter, Braden Holliday, out in left, hits fifth. And Carter Koch is the shortstop, hitting sixth. Seventh hole, Antonio Carvalho at third base tonight. Matt Mascio, their catcher, hits eighth, and Mateo Hamm is out in right field. For the Colt 45, Tyler Thompson leads off. He's in center. Julian Kadama back with the club tonight after an illness kept him away from the team last night, so good to have that fresh blood out there in the lineup. He's at shortstop. Brendan Roop at third base in the three-hole. Tanner Tweet will bat cleanup. He's at first. Chris Booth, the DH, bats fifth. Jacob Machuca out in left field, Kyle Schroedel catching tonight, and Connor McCoy at second, Andy Baena. Baena out in right field. Tonight's game, the starting pitcher will be Jacob Marquez. We'll talk a little bit more about both those guys in a minute. The umpires for tonight's game, Oliver Gunn is behind the plate, and on the bases, Jason Davis will be calling the outs, fair and foul balls, and more in tonight's game. Dimensions of the ballpark here at Tiger Field, 320 to left, 310 to right, 406 to center, 358 and 370 to the power alleys. Now, let's hear Mia Rashid with the national anthem. We'll listen in from Tiger Field.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous night, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly seen. And the rugged red glare, the bombs burst in air, give proof to the that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the
beautiful job on the national anthem tonight. We'll be back with the first pitch, Colt 45s and the Humboldt B-52s in just a moment. This is KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Powerhouse Solar announces their new design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. Now with Powerhouse Solar's new design showroom, you can view your property and see your solar design on the spot so you can see what best works for you. Maybe it's a trellis-mounted system, pole-mounted systems, or roof mount. See all the options in Powerhouse Solar's design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. For information, go to powerhousesolar.com or call 275-5600. Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer.
Almost 50% of people in Shasta County have prediabetes, but only 1 in 10 know they have it. The good news is, prediabetes can be reversible with lifestyle and diet changes. The Shasta Family YMCA is offering a new program that is recognized by the CDC to improve your health and reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes. If you desire long-term healthy change in the new year, the YMCA can help. Go to sfymca.org for the Diabetes Prevention Program information or call the YMCA at 768-2185.
And now back to more Colt 45's baseball action on KCNR AM 1460.
Back at Tiger Field, beautiful night here in Redding, California, Shasta County. Thanks for joining us tonight. No clouds to speak of, a gorgeous night. Temperatures have dropped, not too hot today by our standards anyway. A beautiful night to be out at the ballpark. And still plenty of time to come out and join us wherever you are, if you can make it out. And either way, thanks for listening in on tonight's broadcast. On the mound for the Redding Colt 45s, Jacob Marquez. Marquez making his third start. His 1-1 record on the season and a 5.14 ERA has shown some signs of just of strength. He was a little sore after his last appearance in relief. He went four innings back on the 11th against the Lincoln Potters. I believe was his last start, and only gave up two earned runs, but didn't figure in the decision in that one. He's a right-hander out of Santa Rosa, and he stands in or standing in against him to lead off this inning is Eric Smelko. Smelko, a switch hitter, batting left against Marquez, takes the first pitch for a ball. Defensively for your Colt 45s, it's Tweed over at first base. Everybody on the right side has their glasses on because of the late day Sunfield. Next one misses up and away. Tweets over at first base. It's second, Connor McCoy. At shortstop is making his second start, Julian Kodama. Over at third base, Brendan Roop. The outfield left to right is Kyle Schrodel, Tyler Thompson, and in right field tonight, left field is Jacob Machuk. Center is Tyler Thompson, and out in right field tonight is Andy Bayena. Jacob Machuka is there. Schrodel is doing the catching with Marquez, who's quickly behind in the count 3-0, then gets a fastball over 3-1. Fastball, curve, change up, he'll throw a slider too. Good fastball, little guy, right-hander. Talk a little bit more about him. Gets the fastball going there. He's got some zip on his heater once he gets loosened up. Stands about 5'10". Tonight the Colt 45s are wearing the vests, the sleeveless jerseys. They're yellow, golden, with black sleeves. There's a 3-1, 3-2 pitch fouled out of play now. White piping and black sleeve, name of the team on front. The numerals on the back are white. They're wearing the white caps and the black bills and white pants. Hey, there's my friend Roman out at the ballpark tonight. That one was a 3-2 pitch, and Smoke Tape takes it for strike three. Smoko watches it. And so that's a good start for Marquez after starting out 3-0. That brings up Cody Banks, the second baseman. He's played in a couple of different spots defensively. He was over at third base. I think he's played short a little bit when they had to move some players around. Right-handed batter, so he stands in. Waits for the first pitch from Jacob Marquez. That one's fouled back. Banks was 2-for-5 last night with a couple of runs batted in. Juan Jacob, as I mentioned, 5'10", 160 pounds, out of Santa Rosa. Maria Carrillo High School. A lot of great players have come out of there. Fastball. He took a little changeup on that one. He's trying to get him to go fishing upstairs a little bit. It's 1-1. The boss, Bo, Rick Bassetti on the public address tonight. You'll hear his dulcet voice in the background tonight. 1-1 pitch. That was called strike two inside corner. The umpires tonight wearing their black camo, black and gray camo tops, not unlike the black and gray camo tops with the aquamarine trim on the numbers for the visitors, the Bombers. Bombers wearing gray bottoms as well, and they have a navy piping as well on their hat. Their hats are navy. They go by the Bombers or the B-52 Bombers. I know their fans have come up this weekend. Some of you may have had to go home and got to go back to work tomorrow. I'm glad you're listening in. We appreciate that. Big breaking ball from Marquez. That's a called strike three. So he's showing all his pitches right here, right now in the first inning, and got Cody Banks looking. Now, here's an interesting one because Brian Orr is one of those guys. He's batting third, who plays with Marquez in college. Pretty good Santa Rosa college club over there. First pitch from the little right-hander to his buddy, a fastball, just took it right, blew it right by him, 0-1. Orr was 3-for-5 last night with three runs batted in. They pounded out 18 hits last night and 13 the previous night. 0-1 delivery. Fastball, didn't miss by much, away. Expecting pretty good crowd tonight. It's, you know, Saturday. Great night to be at the ballpark. This one swung on, laced through the hole on the left side. Base hit. Hit sharply. First hit of the game, of course. Two outs. Round one of the teammates goes to Orr. Man, he's liking the warm air here in Redding, that's for sure, with six hits and 11 at-bats now. That brings up Giacomini. Jeff Giacomini, the big first baseman, right-handed batter, 2-for-5 last night. On the season, Giacomini batting .278. No homers, a couple of runs batted in. He stands in, taps the plate with his bat, now waits. Pretty good lead over there at first for Orr. Yes, good wheels. First pitch is over for a strike. So after falling behind the first batter, 3-0, Jacob has worked the count a couple of times, but has been getting out in front. That's a good sign. Checks his runner at first. Good lead over there. Marquez has a good move to first, but not showing it yet. Orr would know that playing with him. Swung on and missed. 0-2. Of course, this time of night, sun field, some bright sun shining on all the outfield positions coming from the third base side as the sun sets behind our grandstands here. Ooh, waves at an off-speed changeup on the outside corner. Got the strikeout. So a stellar first inning for the right-hander. Jacob Marquez gets three strikeouts, a hit. He's stranded, no harm. As we go to the bottom of the first, Colt 45 is looking to draw first blood against the B-52s. This is KCNO 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Bottom of the first inning, Colt 45's looking to get on top of the Bombers. Now, they've taken the lead on the Bombers each of the first two games in that series, and not to be ugly about it, but a lot of good that did them, right? They wound up losing those two games, so let's see if they can carve out something good to get it going. Tyler Thompson joins us, or stands in. He joined us earlier in this week on a pregame show interview. Had a couple hits last night, two runs batted in. Everybody just about had a hit last night for the Colt 45s. They scattered 11, left a lot of men on base. Left 18 on base last night, and that was what got them. That's what, in the end, proved to be their downfall. First pitch to Thompson, takes it for a ball, 1-0. We'll take a look at the Bombers in the field here in a second. Tell you a little bit about their right-hander on the hill. It's David Vogel, and Vogel you've seen out in the field and in the lineup for him. This is his third appearance of the season on the mound. Bounces one up there. He's going to go as far as is needed, his manager told me, because it's game three in a series. You know, that's when you start running out of pitchers in summer collegiate ball. So Vogel has thrown just 4 2/3 innings, a 5.79 ERA. No record yet. Swung on, bounced left side, past the diving third baseman into left field for a base hit. So Tyler Thompson gets it started by going the other way, just what the doctor ordered. Thompson, good speed, of course, at first, leads the club in steals with 9.
From Seattle University.
Julian Kadama going to stand in now, left-handed batter. Played just the one game for the Colt 45 since joining them earlier in the week. And was out with an illness last night. Glad to see him back in lineup for the Colt 45s. He had one hit his opening night out there playing shortstop. And with Peyton Edwards still nursing that knee injury, I think you're looking at they're looking for consistency now. You'll see Kadama at short, Roop at third, and either McCoy or Peyton at second as this summer goes on. And some consistency, I think, would help all those guys defensively. They've had some struggles, and I think part of it is just they've had to move around so much, and they've had different combinations up the middle, and you know that is very much like an offensive line for a football analogy, and that you don't realize how much work goes into working together. Ball and a strike to count on Kadama. Again, left-handed batter. He wears a couple of white batting gloves out of Seattle University. We're still learning a lot, but he was an impact, really, really played quite a bit as a freshman at Seattle this year. one of three Seattle University players on the club. Swings, hits it pretty deep towards right center field. It'll stay in the park now, though, as their center fielder, Smelko, is able to get under it. Thought it might carry a little bit, but the flag just stopped blowing. I was thinking of the last couple of nights when it was really blowing out there to right field. And right now it is not waving at all. It's just resting on the pole. So just goes down as a lazy fly ball. And Brendan Roop comes to the plate. Roop had a couple of hits last night and three runs batted in for the club. On the season at 316 now, two homers, 19 runs batted in. Right-handed batter stands in. He's out of Fort Scott College. Takes first pitch. It was an off-speed over for a strike. Brendan from South Grand Prairie, Texas High School. Just a solid hitter. He's a ball player. Can help you in a lot of ways. Thompson fakes going. Roop lines it towards center. But Smelko goes back and is able to make the catch. He hit it on the nose, just hit it in the direction of their center fielder. Out number two. And that brings up Tanner Tweet. It is for Tanner, right-handed batter out of Red Bluff. Boy, he has already shown me some things this first week with the club or so. He's obviously a ball player, can play multiple positions. He was an excellent catcher. He's learning to play other positions. He's played third, showed great footwork at first base last night. And he struggled last night. He had about as big a collar as you can have. He was 0 for 6. But the night before, he had his best game as a Colt 45. A four-hitter, four-hit game with two homers. So I know he was probably just pressing last night, and then it just, well, snowballed. So we'll see if he can get somewhere in the middle of that tonight. Takes the first pitch for a ball. And I'm sure there's some extra pressure on him coming home. Playing in front of friends and family in his first couple of games. Off speed, pops it up right side. Coming in there, right fielder is able to make the catch for out number three. So good contact on a couple of them. Colt 45s leave a man on base. And we have zeros on the board heading to the second. This is KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
You're listening to Colt 45 Baseball on AM 1460 KCNR.
Top of the second now, Colt 45s. Jacob Marquez mowed him down in the first. Gave up a hit, but it was certainly a promising start. No score here at Tiger Field. A beautiful night for baseball. Tomorrow, Colt 45s will play a Sunday game against the Reading Ringtails. Lost the last meeting between the two teams, so you know there's a little crosstown grudge match there, and they want to get them back. These two teams have a lot of respect for each other. The B-52s and the Colt 45s, competitively, I mean, they want to win, you can tell. Bear Fasking told me that, you know, it is a very healthy rivalry between the two teams. Leadoff hitter Holiday swings and hits a fly ball to right. Andy Bayena pockets that first fly ball for out number one. So Braden Holiday goes down, and Carter Koch comes to the plate. Koch's the shortstop, batting left. Koch was 0 for 5 last night. Had a couple of hits in the opening game of the series. He's at 192 on this season. Marquez, nice foul. He's right on the knees, pretty solid with everything he's throwing up there so far. He's whistled a change or two up high just to try to get some help fishing, but so far has shown good control. There's a breaking ball. Didn't get him fishing on that one, and it's a ball, 1-1. I mentioned that Jacob Marquez, the pitcher for the Colt 45s, is facing a couple of his teammates from college on the other squad. Not just college, but Jacob, Cade Sheets, and Brian Orr all attended Maria Carrillo High School together as well, and now they're playing junior college ball for a very strong program. Santa Rosa Junior College made it into the postseason, of course, did very well. That one's a – like maybe the slider over for a strike, 2-2. Got some kids out in their uniforms tonight. Baseball uniforms, softball uniforms, always good to see that. Next one missed a little low count, runs full, 3-2. Coke stands in. Now the payoff pitch from Marquez, missed a little away on that one, ball four. So a one out walk here in the second. That brings up Antonio Carvalho. Carvalho at third base tonight. Played some outfield as well in this series. Carvalho, right-handed batter. That's just one hit in 20 at-bats for Scott St. John's club. He pitched last night. Got knocked around a little bit. The day before that, he was out in right field. Was 0-2 in that game. Matt Mascio, the catcher, on deck. Everything's working pretty well for Marquez here in this first inning or so. No ball, one strike count. Seeing some shades of shadow now. It's the streaks of shadows, as I like to call them, coming mostly over the infield. So it could cause some issues for the batter. Marquez does a nice job when he goes to the stretch. He brings the ball to his glove and the belt, and then kind of shows it to the hitter when he rocks back. He shows it low in his hand, so you know it could be a little deceiving for hitters until they get comfortable with it, and you hope they don't get comfortable with it. That one's a ball, 1-1, didn't miss by much. Pretty good lead over there at first base for Coke. Marquez notices that. Let's see if he throws over. Doesn't, and Coke's not going, showing some respect there for Kyle Schrodel's throwing arm behind home plate. It might also be in the scenario where they, you know, Jacob will use a slide step, and then other times there are times where he'll bring that leg up on his stretch delivery. They may be keying off of that. But again, a pretty good lead for Coke. Here comes a 1-2 pitch. Bounces it up there. Runner going. Late throw. Probably should have held on to it. Didn't have a chance of getting him at that point. It's a stolen base. I think it might have been one of those where it was a run and hit with a ball in the dirt rather than a hit and run, if you know what I mean. You're running, anticipating contact, but Carvalho not obligated to swing at a ball in the dirt. 2-2. They have a man in scoring position now with one out. A little right-handed batter awaits. Marquez lines it into left field, base hit. Will it get through? It's rolling back towards the track, and it does. Run scores, and Carvalho stands easily at second with a double. Coming off the bat, it just looked like it might be a base hit, but it hit that seam and just scooted out to the wall. So it's 1-0. B-52s. Carvalho with just his second hit of the summer. So pretty good speed out there at second base. Marquez shakes off a pitch from Schrodel now. And Matt Mascio, catcher, stands in. Right-handed batter. Curveball over for a strike. Good with the first pitch strikes. Mascio caught the first game of the series, had a couple of hits. Was 2-for-5 that night. He's at 2-11 on the season. Here comes the 0-1 delivery. McCoy trying to deke the runner back a little bit, show him some love. That's the changeup. Laced into right center field. It'll bring in another run. Turning but not able to get to second base as Thompson gets the throw in quickly. But it's 2-0. Didn't fool him with that change. Angel and Kadama going to go out, and Tanner Tweet, they're both going out to talk to Jacob about something. Masio, the catcher at first base. Maybe tell him something they know about him. Kadama trying to get some signals straight now. I mean, this is his second game, with the team. And he has some natural leadership ability. You can see that. But he's trying to make sure he's on the right page out there at shortstop. So the number nine hitter, Mateo Ham. All that first game, the whole game that he was pitching, I called him Ham. We spoke after the game, and he kindly corrected me. Right-hand batter standing in, open stance, back foot really pretty much right on the line. He can't get any closer to the plate and be legal in the box. And he gets hit with a pitch. Yeah, sometimes I think that's the plan. I've made it very clear my feeling on hit by pitches in the college level, certainly the summer collegiate. These guys just don't even try. And hey, I'm not just saying they're the only team that does it. Colt 45s have been hit with an awful lot of pitches themselves. But these guys get right on the plate, and they'd rather get hit than hit, I think, sometimes. You tell me. Masio goes down to second. Ham at first on the hit batter. And let's see if Jacob Marquez can work out of this one. This is where you make your bones as a pitcher, working out of a tough scenario. Same thing happened with the A's earlier today. I remember Fires was pitching and had to work out of an early jam. And, you know, you do that. You got to have a short memory and a deep understanding of how to pitch to a hitter two, three times through. Because this is the second time through for Smoko already, and we're in the second inning. Batting left against the righty. That was the changeup. Popped it up. Should be out number two. Roop calling everybody off in fair territory. Makes the catch. Four out number two. So Cody Banks will come to the plate. Smoko, Banks, and Giacomini all struck out back in the first. Banks is three hits in this series. Hitting 317 now. Men on first and second, Jacob Marquez trying to get his catcher Schrodel to go through the signs again. They do. He does. And now he delivers. Again, starting this time with a curveball, but a good job by Schrodel to use his body to block it. The one thing about the home fields, wherever you are, they're, you know, this isn't the major league. So you learn what the dirt material is like around your plate. The balls tend to bounce because of the heat. And although Rick Bassetti does a great job of keeping the consistency well, it is a fairly hard dirt area. So there'll be a lot of bouncers that can get away if you're not careful. That was changeup, and that was swung on a miss. So he went to off-speed on a couple there, and it's 1-1 the count. So now he's out in front on Banks. Or even, anyway, 1-1. Marquez is one of those guys that does throw inside. He's not afraid, and that's something I'm pretty sure teams know about him. So now he's hit six batters after hitting Ham. You know, pitcher has to command that inside part of the plate. Here comes a 2-1 pitch now as Banks takes another one. Marquez from the belt does not check the runner at second, misses a little low. 3-1. Colt 45 is trailing 2-0 here in the second. Jacob Marquez trying to get out of a little bit of a jam here with the meat of the order looming for the Bombers. Here comes that 3-1 pitch now. Slide step, change up, hit high, deep to left field, turning and watching it. It goes out of here. A three-run home run for Cody Banks, his second home run of the season. And it's now 5-0, Bombers. Well, there wasn't really much doubt about that one coming off the bat. Landed in the net out towards Cypress Avenue. Kyle Schrodel going out there to have a chat with Marquez. Give him a pat on the backside saying, we're going to need these innings from you, buddy. And counting on it. Now, that was an earned couple of runs there. There's nothing fancy, nothing given to them there. And the hit batter was the only, well, there was a walk and a hit batter, and those do come back to haunt you, but that home run was real. Now Brian Orr, again his teammate in college and high school, fouls it back out of play. Orr had a single in the first. So it's the Colt 45s are going to have to get their bats moving tonight. Again, left too many men on base in this series. 0-1 pitch coming to Orr. Big wine. This was bounce left side. Roop fields it at third. Pumps with the ball and delivers it to first for out number three. So there was some harm in that inning. A walk and a hit batter hurt him, as do three hits, including a big home run to left by Cody Banks. We go to the bottom of the second. Colt 45s have to get the lumber moving. It's 5-0 Bombers. This is KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
I want you to want me.
Get ready for a musical institution. Cheap Trick Live. Saturday, July 6th, 7:30, Reading Civic Auditorium. An unbelievable night filled with all the hits. Cheap Trick. 40 years, and the legacy continues. Cheap Trick in an unforgettable performance. Saturday, July 6th, 7:30, Reading Civic Auditorium. Tickets on sale now at readingcivic.com, the Reading Civic box office, or by calling 530-229-0022.
And now back to more Colt 45 baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Bottom of the second, Colt 45 down 5-0. Chris Brew, Jacob Machuca, and Kyle Schrodel to try to get something going here for the Colt 45s in this one. Kind of a lazy start, I think, for the fans. Haven't gotten the cowbell working, that's for sure, yet. We'll see if the Colt 45s can maybe get them moving a little bit. Bruce struggled last night. Struck out with the bases loaded in the eighth and ninth innings, in fact, to end the game with the bases loaded. And no, he didn't feel good about it. Big right-handed batter stands in. He's working on it now with a new bat tonight. Takes the first pitch for a ball, 1-0. Christopher batting 274, couple of homers. Team leading 26, runs batted in, takes a strike there. Awaits the 1-1 pitch. Shorts hack at it that time and fouls it back out of play. Well, we know the fair is going on in Shasta County, so we've seen a lot of trailers out. Nice to see folks coming out to the ballpark, get a break from the fair when they're heading from out of town. Good to have you out here. Good to have you listening. Here comes a 1-2 pitch. That one's high, 2-2. Begel on the hill and has a little bit of a short delivery. He's not a really big guy. Holds the glove right in front of his face before he begins his wind. And that's a breaking ball. Popped it up. Will it stay in play? No, it won't. It'll be out of play. Kind of short arms that delivery. A quick delivery. And with the sun streaking across, I'm sure it's not super easy to pick it up. But Brew is making contact. Staying alive here. A 2-2 count now coming. Colt 45 is trying to get something started in the second. Fastball, outside corner, called strike three. Too good to watch. Brew knows it. First strikeout of the game for Begel, and Jacob Machuca comes to the plate. And Jacob has been bothered by that hand injury that he suffered when he dove for a ball out in right field a few games ago. Got the green light from the doctors. Was bothering him a little bit before the game, but he's trying to ice it and work through it. He could be a real force for this team in that lineup if he can get going. Takes first pitch over for a strike. Did go 1-for-4 last night with a run batted in. waiting to see that power. We know he's got it. Swings and fouls that one back out of the way. Hitting just 148 coming in. He's played in 8 games. No homers, 4 runs batted in. But he's gotten on base as a .410 on base percentage. And considering he only has those 4 hits, that tells you he's been working the count well. 0-2 count coming here. That was a changeup away, 1-2. Big, good-looking left-handed batter. Again, was a catcher. Now he's trying to learn some other positions. He waits for the 1-2 pitch. That was a changeup outside corner, called strike 3. So Vagel is getting into his groove, and he's hitting the spots. And the Colt 45s are not protecting that plate with 2 strikes. Too close to watch. Both Brew and Machaca. Machuca, excuse me. Kyle Schroedel now at the plate. We interviewed his brother, Nick, before the game on our pregame show. Of course, Nick, a pitcher. So is Kyle. Kyle, of course, has played catcher. I think he's played catcher, third, short, left. Played short this year. But he's been called upon to do a lot of things and has not complained a bit. Now, he knew that wasn't the swing he wanted, was fooled and couldn't check it. A ball and a strike now to count. Vagel trying to get into a bit of a groove here. Kyle and Nick, as we talked, he talked about, both go to Crown College together. There's a fastball up and away, 2-1. And as the snow cone machine works behind me, Kyle Schroedel waits in front of me. Takes a cut short, cut it a high fastball. Missed that one, 2-2. Kyle has his average up to .213 now. No homer, 6 runs batted in. He waits for the 2-2 pitch. Colt 45s need base runners here. Big curveball. Watched it for strike 3. 3 called third strikes in the second inning. So the approach, I'm sure, not what Barrick Fasking is looking for from his team offensively there. We'll go to the top of the third, Colt 45s, trailing the B-52s, 5-0. You're listening to Reading Baseball on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
And now back to more Colt 45 baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Top of the third, Colt 45 trailing the Bombers 5-0. Take a look at some baseball scores for you and see where we're at on the Major League scoreboard right now. A pitcher's duel in Washington. The Braves lead the Nationals 13-9. That's almost a pitcher's duel this year, the way balls are flying out of the park. 13-9, Braves are up in that one. And again, bottom of the ninth, the Nationals trying to rally back. Yankees beat the Astros 7-5 at Yankee Stadium. Josh Reddick, Alvarez, homer for Houston. Urshela and Romine homering for the Yankees. Dodgers and Rockies tied at 4. And that one heading to the bottom of the ninth with a couple out. Justin Turner just struck out in that one. We'll keep you going on that game. Second time they've gone to the bottom of the ninth. In a row, see if they want to try to pull another miracle out. White Sox and Rangers tied at 4. That's in the bottom of the fifth. Mazzara had a couple homers in that one. We'll get back to the scoreboard in a moment. It's Jeff Giacomini leading things off here in the third. Stocky right-handed batter takes a cut at the fastball for a strike 0-1. Diamondbacks on top of the Giants 3-2 in the second inning. San Francisco getting a pair in the second. Giants still batting there. We have a final in 10 in Kansas City at Kauffman Stadium. Twins win it by a 5-3 final. Next one's a strike. Sano, Caven, Seek Crone. Two Crones from Minnesota these days, and they all homered in that contest for the Twins, who have had some kind of season so far. Here comes the 0-2 pitch from Marquez. Oh, he gets Giacomini to wave at one. He doesn't run well. Schrodel let it get away, but he's able to pounce on it and complete the strikeout at first to Tanner Tweet. So that's the fourth strikeout of the game for Jake Marquez. And now Braden Holliday comes to play. Holliday flew out to right field in the second. He's a leading hitter. Batting in the five spot, he's hitting .417 coming into the game. And three homers to lead them as well coming into this game. With 11 walks, 10 RBI, so he's doing it all for him. Right-handed batter awaits the 1-0 pitch now. Fouls the fastball back, 1-1. Back to the scoreboard. Cardinals beat the Angels 4-2, but Pujols went deep in St. Louis, and boy, they went crazy for him. He's going to wear a Cardinals hat into the Hall of Fame, although I think he's done a great job with the L.A. Angels of Anaheim since he's been there. Big breaking ball. Oh, yeah, it's called strike two, 1-2 the count. Mets pounded the Cubs 10-2. Alonso, Frazier, and Ramos all homered. Marlins beat the Phillies 5-3 at Citizens Bank Park. Harper got his 13th homer, and there you go, strike three here at Tiger Field. So that's strikeout number five for Jacob Marquez. It's been a tale of two pitchers so far for Jacob. Knock on wood. It is a solid first inning with a couple of strikeouts. Bounced around a little bit in the second, including the big homer by Banks. He's settled down here in the third. Has the first two batters. And Carter Koch at the plate. Koch walked, eventually scored after stealing second on Carvalho's double. And first pitch to him is a strike. Blue Jays edge the Red Sox 8-7, excuse me. Getting some updates on some of these major league scores. Padres, Pirates beat the Padres. This one bounced foul right side. Pirates win that one 6-3. Second night in a row, Machado's gone deep. So both Machado and Harper, the two big off-season major league free agents, earning their paycheck a little bit tonight. Athletics, I was listening to some of that game earlier today. They wind up winning that thing 4-2. Chapman, the go-ahead RBI double. Ball gets away. Home plate umpires, not really a ball boy. Both teams have to, the on-deck hitter has to usually jump out and get it, or the manager or coach. Barrick Fasking didn't jump on that one, so the home plate umpire, Oliver Gunn, schooled him. And then guess what? Speaking of school, how do you say ABC 1-2-3? You do it with three Ks. So, for the second time in three innings, Jacob Marquez strikes out the side. I'm barely talking about the game. I'm trying to give you those major league scores. Hey, we'll take it. Go to the bottom of the third. It's 5-0. Colt 45's coming to bat, looking to get something going on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with Care Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. Care Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
The Cascade Theater presents four free films and a whole lot of fun this July with the Kids Summer Movie Club. Every Sunday afternoon in July, the theater opens the door at 2 with completely free admission for everybody. Turtle Bay will be there to show off some animals and hand out prizes. There's activities and then the film at 3, featuring Monsters, Inc., WALL-E, Cars, and Brave. Four films, four Sundays in July. Sponsored by JPR, KIXE, First Five Shasta, and Turtle Bay. See you there.
Colt 45's baseball comes your way exclusively on KCNR Shasta Redding.
Bottom of the third inning, finishing off that MLB scoreboard. Dodgers have gone now to the 10th inning of their game with Colorado. We'll get you right there. Where are we? The A's won today, beat the Rays. So Orioles over the Mariners, 8-4. Santana hit his 17th for the losing team there. Indians shut out the Tigers 2-0. Brewers beat the Reds 6-5. And Yelich didn't homer. but, boy, Grandal did. And Puig and Suarez homered for the Reds. So you're up to date on Major League Baseball right now. We'll get you up to date on AAA Baseball a little bit later on with the Rivercats. Leading things off, Connor McCoy, the kid, second base, lines a pitch into left field for a base hit. Way to go, Connor. Just got his first hit as a Colt 45 yesterday, I believe. And now gets his first solid hit to left. The more comfortable he gets, of course, he's going to be going to Shasta College next year. Out of high school here in Cottonwood. Andy Baena comes to the plate. Andy's been looking very comfortable up there. He was 2-for-3 last night, a couple of runs scored and a couple of RBI. Hitting .327 now on the season. A homer, 13 runs batted in, and an on-base percentage of .519. Takes the first pitch for a strike. And those are numbers that'll get the attention of his new college coach. Takes the 0-1 pitch, checks his swing. It's in the dirt, 1-1, runner not going anywhere. They have a new coach at Regis University, and Andy and Miguel Marquez, who had to leave the summer. He had an injury, so he started the year, of course, here with the Colt 45s, but he's headed back to Denver. Hope you're listening, Miguel. Hope you're healing well. Off speed, misses low, and it does get away, and that's going to enable McCoy to get to second. He has good speed out there. That one's probably a pass ball right between split the wickets of the catcher. So Baena has a man in scoring position now. As the season's gone long, Andy's really shown some more and more pop. There's an adjustment period from the AKA artificial bats, also known as aluminum or whatever you want to call them. They're really not made of that. Next pitch bounced up there. And all of a sudden, we're starting to see that, you know, Vagel's looking like he might be tiring a little bit. We'll see if there's any stirring out there. Their manager told me they want to try to get him to go as far as he can. I mean, this is game three of a weekend series for them, and getting pretty deep in their bullpen. Baena takes that pitch for a ball, and it is a walk. First walk issued by Vagel. And with two on and nobody out, top of the order is Tyler Thompson. This will be a chance for the Colt 45s to maybe get something going here. Right-handed pitcher against the left-handed batting Thompson. Tyler went the other way, single to left. His first time up, wearing those red Utah Utes batting gloves. Getting comfortable. Shows bunt, gets a beauty. Oh, it just bounces foully. He had a good idea. It looked like he got a beauty up there, trying to get it onto that grass outside of the circle around home plate where bunts go to die. He has that great speed. That was not a sacrifice attempt. He was looking to bunt his way on over at third base. The third baseman playing pretty deep. Carvalho. Let's see what he's doing here. 0-1 count. He steps out, asks for time. Defensively, I can give you that rundown for the visitors. Giacomini's at first, Banks is at second, Koch at short. We mentioned Carvalho at third. Here comes the 0-1 pitch. Off speed, that was called over for a strike, 0-2. Their outfield, left-right, Holliday's out in left, Smelko in center, and Ham in right, Maceo behind the plate. And Vagel on the hill. Shadows now have covered the infield for the most part. Little Sunfield out in the right and center. Swung on, popped foul out of play, left side. Tyler just trying to stay alive. Making good contact, though. He got a punch hit his first time up the other way. We mentioned that he's at 333 now coming in. Homer, 12 runs batted in. and that on-base percentage, 556. Swung on, bounced towards second. Could be two. Dishes to the shortstop for one. On to first. Not going to get Tyler Thompson over there. He's safe. It was not tailor-made because it was hit a little bit slowly to second, but they did cleanly field it. McCoy goes to third now. Bayana's out on the 4-6. Safe on the fielder's choice is Thompson. So they have good speed on the corners. And your left-handed hitting Julian Kadama. So lefty at the plate oftentimes can help to shield a base stealer getting a good start. Puts a little extra pressure on the catcher. Runner's going without even thinking about it. He's going to stand at second with the steal. I mean, they barely gave him lip service. They gave up that base. Hey, Tyler will take it. That is stolen base number 10 for the team this year. 10 and 0 times caught stealing. 0-1 pitch now to Kodama, as it was a strike. Holds the bat, waggles it high above his head. Now the left-handed batter waits and drives it towards center. Not going to be too deep. It is deep enough for the runner to tag, and McCoy comes in to score. Thompson has to hold at second as Smelko catches the out and gets it into his relay man quickly. So sacrifice fly. RBI for Julian Kadama. For Kadama, that's his first RBI as a Colt 45 player. I mean, hit it on the nose. Again, just happened to be right at him. So it's now 5-1. Colt 45s are on the board. And Brendan Roop to the plate, the third baseman. Hits the ball well to center field. Back in the first. And Vegel going to step out. Now he's back on the rubber, working from the stretch. Checks the runner at second. Big curve. It's over for a called strike. Roop wasn't interested. 0-1. Brendan standing in. Up to 316, we told you. It's four doubles leads the team. Has a fastball inside ball. 1-1. Tanner Tweet on deck. Colt 45s would like to keep this thing going with two outs here in the third. Vegel looks at the runner, now delivers. Off-speed, he swung right through it. Tipped it off, but that's strike two. 1-2 now, the count. Here comes a 1-2 pitch. Brendan Roop awaits. Holds the bat and waggles it and swings, and he misses. He went down swinging, though. One run for the Colt 45s. On one hit, there were no errors, and one man left on base. We go to the top half of inning number four. Redding's on the board, Colt 45's trailing 5-1. This is KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
Colt 45's baseball comes your way exclusively on KCNR Shasta Redding.
Through three, it's five runs, four hits, no errors for the Humboldt B-52 Bombers. No run, one run, two hits, no errors for the Redding Colt 45s. Top of the fourth now. And Jacob Marquez is He's got 4 hits, 5 earned runs, a walk, and 6 strikeouts through his 3 innings of work. The big blow, a 3-run home run, makes that line a little fat. I'm sure fatter than he wants, but he's had 2 solid innings out of 3. And this is the 4th. Antonio Carvalho, the third baseman, leading things off at the bottom third of the Bombers lineup. Carvalho got just his 2nd hit of the season, an RBI double in the 2nd. Swings and pops this one right side. Shallow right field, Baena calls off McCoy, and he'll make the catch for out number 1. 1 pitch, 1 out. I like that. Masio now to the plate. Catcher hitting 211. No homers coming into the game. Just 1 run batted in. He got his 2nd run batted in with that single in the 2nd. He later scored on the home run. Takes first pitch inside corner for a strike. For the most part, Jacob has just gone right at him, been out in front on hitters, even though he has walked and hit a guy. He's been aggressive. I think another important start for him as he tries to develop as a starter. Hopefully can get Santa Rosa's attention next year in that role. 1-1 pitch. That was the slider. Missed a little inside, 2-1.
Catcher, Matt Masio.
Again, no breeze, unlike the last couple of nights. Swung on, popped right side, Baena sees it. Moves to his left, about 10 feet from the right field foul line. Makes the catch for out number 2. But a beautiful clear night. We're going to have some pretty, pretty sunset colors, I think, here in our... Must be in the front row seating. That's the top row over on the third base side. As we can see, Lassen peaks over the right field wall. Out in that area, Marquez, first pitch call, strike. Awful lot of first pitch strikes, and that is what you're looking for from your starter. Ham takes the next one. That one's on the inside corner, called for a strike. So quickly out in front on Ham, who was hit with a pitch in the 2nd. Again, almost as if on cue, after I said you can't stand closer to the plate than he does with his back foot. He chases the breaking ball outside. Going to be a close play as Schrodel had to jump on the loose ball, swinging third strike. He throws down to first, and he's not going to get him. The ball got away from Nick. And I'm sorry, from Kyle. That happens with the Schrodels. So it goes down as a strikeout, and whether, I'm not sure who's been charged with that, whether or not it's going to be the catcher, but either way, I'm sure the catcher will tell you. I mean, he chased one that was down and away and bit the dirt. So runner at first, left-handed hitting, a switch-hitting leadoff hitter batting left is Eric Smelko. Smelko's 0 for 2. Watched a called third strike in the first. Popped a third in the 2nd. Smelko at 381 for them. Leads their team, tied for their team lead in doubles coming in with 4. Throw over to first. Gets away. Tweet, actually, probably could have been called for obstruction of the runner, but he was able to get to 2nd no problem anyway. Tweet kind of went over his back. He might have been trying to slow him down a little bit, but either way, that's going to be one that got away. So, error by charge to Tweet on the pickoff attempt. 2 outs, 0-1. Off speed, swung on and missed by Smelko. 0-2 now. Jacob Marquez now pitching. The lights are on at Tiger Field. The leadoff hitter, Smelko, sans batting gloves. Old school. holds the lumber. That way, bounced it up there, and Schrodel couldn't find it right away. There was no hesitation on Ham's part. The minute it was in the dirt, he was challenging Schrodel to throw him out if he picked it cleanly, and he didn't. Kind of came up with the ball out of his crouch and couldn't find the ball right away. And at that point, Ham showed pretty good speed getting over there. It'll go down as a wild pitch, but aggressive for Ham. So he's at third, 1-2 count, two outs. Curveball swung on and missed. He struck him out. Going to throw down to first this time to complete the out. Tweet is able to hang on, and he lost the ball. Did he get the out? No. That is too bad. And looks like he might be, I don't know if he's hurt, when he stretched over there. And now Barrett Fasken is going to go out there and say, hey, he had control of the ball. He got the out. The ball came loose when he completed his stretch, when he came off, that he'd already completed the out. He's not going to win the argument because you pretty much never win arguments. That's not an argument. He's just having the discussion with him. But he's going to go talk to the home plate umpire. And let's see, just chatting it over with Jason Davis. Now he's coming in to talk to Oliver Gunn and tell him what Fasking said to him. If it's a strikeout, then it's no run scored, inning over, if he does call him out at first. They're discussing it, Fasking kind of looking in. The infield is out on the pitcher's mound, kind of going over it. I see his point. I mean, I think it was an out, and then the ball only came loose after the play was over, at least from my vantage point. Again, we have no replay, nothing like that. Tanner was coming back. The throw from Schrodel pulled him off. And Tanner was trying to get back. He had plenty of time. That was the thing. He could have come off the bag instead of trying to reach for it. Either way, it's in the hands of the home plate umpire. Let's see what he does. Safe. Okay. So it's 6-1 now. That's going to be error on the catcher, I'm guessing. Ham scores. That's an ugly run right there. 6-1 the score. And speed at first in Smelko. Now, I've never seen that. Twice in one inning, a strikeout registered, but the man gets on first in the wild pitch. Two times, one inning. One half inning. Bounces that one up there. So now it's Jacob's job to forget what just happened. That's what you have to be able to do. Put it out of your mind. And that's also the job of Kyle Schrodel. I'm sure he doesn't feel good about it. About those two plays. This has all happened with two outs without benefit of a hit. Cody Banks, boy, he benefited a hit earlier. I just made that phrase up. But three-run home run. Bounces that one up there. Jacob's a little shaky right now. He's got to get it back. Count 3-0. Banks took him yard, and it was a no-doubter into the net over the Dignity Health sign out in left. And it plated three. Big blow of this game, that's for sure. So far. 2-0, Cody Banks. Secret agent awaits. Swings and hits it towards short. Kodama fields, throws, got him. Inning over. One run, no hits. Couple of errors and a wild pitch. A couple of wild pitches, and it cost him a run. We go to the bottom of the fourth. Cole 45 coming from behind. It's 6-1. This is KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Market volatility has become a fact of life. What does this mean for your investments? Are you aware of and prepared for the risks volatility poses to your portfolio? Should you consider changing your specific holdings or the mix of assets in your account?
Rick Hill and Rory Greek Financial Advisors, the Pathfinder Group at Morgan Stanley, can give you insights about these and other questions and can also suggest strategies that may help better prepare you for the market's ups and downs.
Please call Rick Hill or Rory Greek Financial Advisors at the Redding, California branch at Rick Hill or Rory Greek at 223-4200.
Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
And now back to more Colt 45 Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Tweet Brew and Machuca to start things off here in the bottom of the fourth against Vagel. Little right-hander. Bear Paskin still discussing the play with Tweet over at first with the home plate umpire. I think he has a valid argument. I think it should have been an out, but can't take away that it was a poor throw over to first that made it happen. Here we go. A right-handed hitting Tweet standing in. Flew out to right field back in the first. Red Bluff High Star waits for the pitch. Off speed from Bagel to start it off. Fouls it back. 0-1. Brew on deck. Colt 45s need to string some stuff together. Swings and misses at that one. Fouls it back 0-2. Colt 45s just two hits in this game. Thompson's hit to start it. And single by Connor McCoy. He eventually scored on a sacrifice fly by Julian Kodama. That's pretty much it. 0-2 pitch coming for Tanner Tweet. Fastball outside corner. Missed it. 1-2. Bottom of the fourth, AAA ball down in Las Vegas. Sacramento and Las Vegas tied at 2. That one misses up and away on Tweet. That one tied at 2. As we mentioned, Sac in Vegas. In the fourth inning, here comes a 2-2 pitch. Big curve, was it called? No, it was a big one. He took it. 3-2. Tweet has shown a pretty good eye since joining this team. His on-base percentage is solid, as well as his average. Fouls that one back. Tanner enters the game hitting 308 with two homers and a 6 RBI and just... in just six games. His OPS, 1.015, and an on-base percentage of 438. Those are good. 3-2 pitch. Fouls that one back into the parking lot. I sense a sound effect coming. Yes. No crash, no horn. Oh, they're going easy on the sound effects tonight. Thank you for that. That means no cars were injured in that foul ball. Here comes the full count delivery from Vagel. Finally gets on the same page with his catcher, or does he? He just keeps nodding his head. Fastball, low ball, 4. Base runners, that's what the Colt 45s need, and Tanner Tweet gets on first. Pretty good speed for a big fella. Really runs the bases well. So with nobody out, Chris Brew at the plate. Down by 5, you're not thinking bunt or anything like that, although their third baseman is playing awfully, awfully deep. Chris is healing from that leg injury, running much, much better, but he's trying to get comfortable, I think, in the box now. First pitch to him, swung on, foul back, out of play, took a pretty good hack at that one. Machuca on deck. Now there's the sound effect. Chris watched a called third strike in the second in a forgettable inning for the Colt 45s when all three batters watched called third strikes. 0-1 delivery, and that one's over for a strike, 0-2. Fans having fun, getting on Oliver Gunn, home plate umpire. But it looked like a strike. Hey, when he says strike, it's a strike. That's baseball. It's the way it goes. 0-2. Swung on, bounced up the mid. Fielded by Vagel on the mound. Throws to short for one. On to first. Double play. 1-6-3. Well handled by Vagel on the mound. And the throws were on the money. That's a double play. So now we have two outs and nobody on. For Jacob Machuca. Chukwa set called third strike as well back in the second. A deceiving 148 average for Jacob. Fastball fouled that one. Got a good look at that one. Pretty good cut on that one. Watching his, also kind of watching his body language because, you know, he's been in some pain there with that hand injury. Takes that one for a ball. At Fort Scott, he played in just 8 games as a freshman. The Greyhounds were good, very good. They went to the NJCAA Division I Regional District Championships. Swings a 1-1 count. Hits it high, foul territory, third base side. Going to fall out of play. Ball and 2 strikes. The call for cowbell comes in the 4th. Need a little 2-out rally here. Maybe I'll get started. Schrodel is on deck. He'd like to bat in this inning. 1-2 pitch. Off-speed swung on, laced into right field. Base hit. Banks jumped up, but it was over his glove. Saved me from the embarrassment of having to fix my call there. Looked like a solid hit to right for Chuk. So Jacob Machuca on. And runs well for a big guy. Kyle Schrodel to the plate. Schrodel, the right-handed batter. And here comes the first pitch. Machuca not going anywhere. Cutter on the inside corner called for a strike. Was not what Schrodel was looking for. At Crown College, he started 25 games as a freshman this year, mostly at catcher. And Kyle had some big games, a 3-hit game and a win over Minnesota Morris. That one bounces away. Machuca's able to run down to second, slides in, no throw made. Kyle will go to 1-1 now, but a man in scoring position with 2 outs. As I was saying, Kyle, as a freshman, finished the season hitting .274 at Crown with 20 hits and 14 runs scored, and they had their best season win-wise since moving up to Division II. They finished 16-18. It's up in St. Bonifacius, Minnesota. Swings and misses that one, 1-2. But it's a small town up there, and it is cold in the winter times and cold in the spring, as Nick Schrodel told us. It's cold until the sun comes out. Ball and 2 strikes to count now. Let's see if Kyle Schrodel can come up with the 2-out hit. Swung it. Check swing. Slow roller to second. Banks fields it cleanly and does throw it on almost an excuse-me swing. So Cole 45s do get a hit and leave one man on base. We go to the top of the 5th. It's 6-1 B-52s. You're listening to Redding Colt 45's baseball on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name, knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Hey, North State sports fans. This is Brent Weber. I'm the host of Scorecard Scribblings from The Sports Guy. Me, Brent Weber. It's a blast. It's a chance to get some of my old friends on to chat about sports and meet some new folks, too, that can tell us what's happening out there, not just in the North State. but around the world in sports. So be sure and join us. That's Wednesday nights at 6.
And now back to more Colt 45's baseball action on KCNR AM 1460.
Jacob Marquez working his fifth inning, trailing 6-1. Just one bad inning, gave up a couple of pretty well hit balls and got into one of those where the free passes came back to bite him. Nobody throwing out in the pen, although I think I see Jordan Aiken starting to get loose. Jacob's getting close to his longest appearance of the year. We'll look that up here in a second. Jacob's going to face his college and high school teammate, Brian Orr, to start things off, trying to check some stuff out here at on their website, because Maria Carrillo, the Pumas, I know they have had some great success in baseball over the years. They've won quite a few championships over the years, but as far as alumni, maybe I'll figure it out later. We'll look for it here. But these guys went to the same high school. Now they're playing together in junior college. Now opposing one another in summer collegiate play. 0-1 pitch, and then he comes in with the changeup. Over for called strike. That was not what Orr was looking for. Orr singled back in the first. Jacob got him to ground to third in the second. Tried to get him to fish for that one. Didn't get to it. Bounced off of Schrodel. No ball, two strike count. One ball, two strike count coming. Excuse me. Giacomini on deck, the cleanup hitter. Nobody out here. Top of inning number five. Six runs, four hits, no errors for the Bombers. Here comes the 1-2 pitch. Swings at a low breaking ball. Pops it to center field. Thompson barely has to move out there. Tyler makes a catch for out number one. Jeff Giacomini now to the play. He has whiffed both times up in this game. 6-4-0 for the Bombers and 1-3-2 for the Colt 45s.
And here is your beer batter.
Giacomini, as I said, he is here at the ballpark. They have this thing for adults that the guy they select before the game, one batter, and if he strikes out, anytime he comes up, you get a discount on your beer the rest of that inning. Giacomini's done it twice. Not going to do it this time. High pop to right. McCoy wandering over, loses his bounce, but still makes the catch. He made it look quite dramatic out there. Tumbled. He's laughing it out. I'm sure Baena was thinking about calling him off, but McCoy's doing his finger like he's spinning a basketball or a plate. He got spun around out there by that pop. Either way, it's an out. That's the most important thing. And that brings up Braden Holliday is 0-2. You're having a good day if you're keeping this guy off the base paths. Fastball, good cut, good fastball. He missed it, 0-1. Jacob at 74 pitches now. And so getting to that point, this could be his last inning. If he were able to get this batter quickly, he might come out to start the next one. That was a nice changeup over for a strike, 0-2. He's looked comfortable throughout. Had a little arm soreness, I know, after one of his most recent appearances. Oh, he floated that curveball up, really dropped the arm slot there. He knows it, quickly gets the ball back, quickly climbs back on the rubber. He wants to forget that pitch. 1-2 the count. Schrodel setting up inside. Curveball again, swung on and missed. Next, Kyle's going to throw it down to first to complete the out, and does. Another strike him out. And yes, indeed, that also keeps him quiet in the fifth. And another fun time out here. If you keep him off the board in the fifth inning, they call it the frozen fifth. Fans get a discount on some ice cream this inning. So that's good, too. Hey, we'll go to the bottom of the fifth. Colt 45 is looking to get back on the board. Trailing 6-1 on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Good things come to those who wait. At Jersey Mike's, they also come to those who don't. Download our app, order ahead, and skip the line. Cut to the Chase by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Looking for a team building exercise? Order Jersey Mike's delivery from Uber Eats. Then share. Collaboration by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above.
Mako is back with another great deal, giving your car that shiny new Mako makeover. They're having a tax time special. Get 33% off a standard paint package. Bring your tax refund to Mako and make that faded, scratched, and weathered paint job look great again at affordable prices. Get quality, quick turnaround times, and all work is backed by the National Mako Warranty. Mako accepts all insurance and offers financing OAC with interest-free loans for up to a year. Come in today for a free estimate. Mako, America's Body Shop, on Crossroads Drive or MakoReading.com. Uh-oh. Better get Mako.
You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Vagel still pitching. He's working on a three-hitter. Colt 45 sending Connor McCoy out there. He's been a pesky batter the last couple of nights. He stands in first pitch, swings, and lines it into center field. Base hit. So Connor McCoy is starting to feel his oats now, and the crowd loves it. Lead-off single for the kid, and Andy Bayena comes to the plate. You need five, so bunting guys over, probably not an idea, but Andy has shown the ability to bunt for an infield hit, and their third baseman has been playing fairly deep in this series, but Vagel looks over to Carvalho, and Carvalho comes in a little bit more third. Bayena stands in, right-handed batter, walked and was forced out on the base pass on a ground out. Last time up in the third. Checking the run at first, Vagel. Action now in their bullpen quickly. Swung on. Hits that one pretty well left, but right at the left fielder for out number one. Holliday didn't have to move around too much. Just went to his right a few steps, but it was hit on the nose. So, out number one. I think that's a brand new bat, and he's looking at it like it might have cracked. Hate it. And now Tyler Thompson comes to the plate. He's one for two, been on base both times. Reached on a fielder's choice in the third. Stole a base, was stranded out there. Left-handed batter. McCoy, good speed. That one gets away from the catcher, and he's headed down to second. So now you have a man in scoring position.
Who are those gravel tickets for paying for that fence? That fence is paying for your...
A ball and no strike. The count. They've hit a couple of balls on the nose off of Vagel. Wind just picks up a little out to right. It's up and away on the left-handed hitting Thompson. Vagel at 66 pitches, a good solid pitch count, but this is the farthest he has gone this year. Thompson awaits the 2-0 pitch. Fastball swung on, lined right back at him. Vagel knocks it down, and he's going to be able to throw Thompson out at first, heading over to third base. Is McCoy, but I'll tell you what, that was preservation defense. It was right back at him, eyeball level. He's fine. They're kind of laughing about it. I'm sure it shook him up a little bit. Nobody likes to see that, except a hitter maybe. You'd rather just keep going into center field. So Thompson hit it on the nose, tips his cap a little bit. I see he's looking out of the pitcher, and I'm sure he's going to tip his cap to him because that was just a really well-played ball. Now what's the pitcher's going to come out and talk to him. First baseman has called him out there and actually may have got his pitching hand on it. He threw both hands up there. I do wish we had replay. It would help us. Looks like he threw both hands up there. Yeah, he looks pretty good throwing it from the mound. He's fine. So pretty much everything's been hit on the nose this inning. That minute to talk to the, see if the pitcher was okay, buys them some time out in the bullpen, getting a right-hander loose. Because the goal 45s have definitely hit the ball on the nose. So Thompson was put out 1-3, but McCoy is at third now, and two are out for Julian Kodama. Takes first pitch for a called strike. O-1 delivery coming to Kodama. Swings and hits it through the hole right side. Base hit, RBI, Julian Kodama. His second ribby of the game. is second. Rivia is a Colt 45, and it's 6-2. Just a solid baseball player is at bat. He had a pretty good hole over there. And now the bullpen getting even quicker going out there. Catcher goes out to talk to his pitcher. We'll get a number for you on the pitcher when you get a chance. So now the man at first, good speed in Kadama. And Roop comes to the plate. Brendan's 0 for 2. Fastball takes it inside. Corner called for a strike. So Brendan Roop stands in. Good lead for Kodama. He's going. It's low. Catcher can't get the throw off. Kodama would have had it anyway. Stolen base for Julian. So for Kodama, this is going to be his first steal, I believe. Oh, I'm so wrong. Julian's second stolen base for the Colt 45s. So he's in scoring position now with two outs for Brendan Roop. Vagel, fastball fouled back on that delivery. Didn't get a great cut at it, but they're definitely seeing Vagel this inning. So one way or another, I'm guessing this will be the last inning for him. That's the way their bullpen's working. Action beginning, continuing in the Colt 45's bullpen. Looks like Aiken's continuing to throw, so he'll be ready. Fastball misses away, 2-2. Kadama trying to draw a throw, I think. He was pretty far off, almost to the point where you think if he drew a throw, he might just head to third. We've already seen baseball smarts from Kadama. And now the catcher's going to go out there and have a little chat. I think they may be concerned that Kadama is, you know, stealing their signs. And if you're on second, your job as a base runner is to let them think that. Whether you're doing it or not, doesn't matter. Anything you can do to get the battery, the pitcher and catcher, thinking about you instead of the guy at the plate. And I'll tell you what, if you don't think about Brendan Roop, he'll make you pay. Here comes the 2-2 pitch. From the belt, Vagel checks the runner at second. Now swung a foul back out of play. Took a pretty good hack at that one. Brendan kind of stretching his shoulders out on that one after that swing. He took a pretty good hack at it. Now he's ready. Waggles the bat, gets in his rhythm at the plate. Slightly open stance, Vagel. Checks the runner, now delivers. That was a changeup. Missed 3-2. Didn't miss by much. Did not miss by much. Brendan out of Fort Scott. Only played 14 games, but had 14 hits. you know, they love him there at Fort Scott. Hit .326 with a .535 slugging percentage as a freshman at Fort Scott College in Kansas. Here comes payoff, 3-2. Breaking ball, swung on, hit to center. Smelko going back, but it will not carry. Wynn's just not doing it tonight. Hit well, but right at him. They had some hard hit balls in that inning, but only one run to show for it. One run, two hits. There were no errors and a man left on base. We go top six. Colt 45 scratching at it. Needs some more. Trailing 6-2. You're listening to baseball on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit Reading Endoscopy.
Endoscopy.com.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally-owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Jordan Akins, your new pitcher, the right-hander. Nobody wants to pitch more than Jordan Akins because his first appearance in this series, the little right-hander, the bearded one with the long sandy brown hair, didn't get an out. Gave up 8 runs coming in the sixth inning, and the bases loaded, and only one of them was earned, only one walk, 4 hits without getting... He wanted that ball yesterday. He warmed up, almost came into the game, I think, and he wanted to get back in there tonight. Akins, a hard-throwing little 5'9", 165-pounder out of Foothill. And as a freshman at Shasta College, pitched in 13 games. He has a good fastball, nice array. And he'll face the 6, 7, and 8 hitters in the lineup. Start the 6th. Nice start for Jacob Marquez. I think all in all, you'd have to say that was his best. Overall, he had a bad inning, no doubt. Gave up a homer and a run-scoring double, walked and hit a guy, and that's what'll kill you. But he went 5 innings, 4 hits, 6 runs, 5 earned, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. Colt 45s will have to do some coming back to get him off the hook. First pitch to the left-handed hitting Carter Koch. Spells his first and last name with a K. Carter Koch. Off-speed, way out in front on that one, missed it. And quickly in the hole on Jordan Akins, 0-2. If you haven't made plans for the 4th of July, imagine if it was tonight. It's probably what it's going to be like on the 4th of July. Who knows? Could be a little warmer, but we know that's the way it goes. Curveball missed away. Didn't bite. 1-2. 4th of July is going to be a great night here at Tiger Field. Baseball, snow cones, hot dogs, and fireworks, of course. But you have to buy a ticket. That's the thing. You watch the game, which starts at 6 against the Ringtails, and then after the game, if you have a ticket, you get to watch the Reading fireworks downtown from the outfield here at Tiger Field. It'll be all kinds of fun that night. Great family venue, safe here, and hopefully a win to boot. This pitch swung on, line towards left. One hops to the left fielder, Machuca. So a leadoff single for Carter Koch. Hit number 5 of the game off the Colt 45s. They're actually coming into this inning out hit Humble, but that 3-run homer makes up for a lot of it. Right-handed batter now is Carvalho, who's trying to get off the schneid. He, as I mentioned, had just one hit on the season for him coming in. He knocked a run in with a double in the second and popped up to right. His last time up in the 4th, takes the first pitch over for a strike. Jordan trying to get out in front and do that. So tomorrow it's the Ringtails here, 6:15, first pitch, then a couple of nights off. I'm getting that wrong. One night off before San Leandro Pilots come to town on a midweek series, Tuesday and Wednesday. Then it's on the road to play these same B-52s next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 0-1 pitch coming. Koch has good speed at first. Not a big lead. Tweet holds him on. Akins looks over his shoulder, now delivers. Oh, he bounces it up there. Schrode led no chance. It goes all the way back to the screen. The runner will move up to second. Koch on the wild pitch. So Carvalho has a man in scoring position with a 1-2 count and nobody out. Bullpen continues to work. So there'll be likely a new pitcher, or I don't know if they'll have Vagel start the next inning or not. 6-2. Has a good-looking cutter outside. Akins just missing on that one. count it 2-2. I got to check with Jordan about the his cleats. He has what appear to be metallic logos on the side. Not sure if that's from Foothill High School, what those are from, but they're kind of flashy. Swung on line just over Connor McCoy into right center field. It's scooting. Runner's going to be able to score as Tyler Thompson had to quickly keep it from getting back to the wall. The relay throw comes in, gets away momentarily, but it'll be an RBI single. It's now 7-2. It just, once it hit the grass, it didn't slow down. It just kept scooting. And Thompson had put on the burners to keep it from becoming an extra base hit. It looked for a moment like McCoy might have been able to leap and grab it. He would have needed just one step on the ladder to get there, though. 7-2 now, and Matt Mascio at the plate. Mascio hits one through the hole right side, base hit. The base runner had to dodge it and almost hit him, and if it had, he would have been out. But it didn't. And still nobody out, so trouble for Jordan Akins. I need him to get to his form here. That aforementioned previous appearance, not getting an out. You can't relive that. You certainly don't want him to relive that. Runners on first and second. First pitch to Mateo Hamm. It's a called strike 0-1. So Jordan's getting some, getting strikes in there. It's just they put it in play. Three hits in this inning. Breaking ball over for a strike, 0-2. Let's see what he comes back with. Sun setting now and nice orange hue, orange-blue hue over the peaks of Lassen. And as we look the other direction, other mountains, just a beautiful night at this ballpark. Bounces it, but Schrodel keeps it in front of him. No harm. 1-2 the count. I would imagine it's all hands on deck out in the bullpen. Not sure who the starter will be tomorrow. It may depend on who has to work tonight. 0-2 pitch coming from Akins. Good fastball. Took a good cut, fouled it off, and it played pinball with the catcher and the umpire back there. Oliver Gunn kind of shaken up a little bit, I think, with the ball, and Schrodel doing what a good catcher does. He goes out to talk to Akins at the mound, let the umpire keep his head from spinning, kind of. It jars you a little bit, if you've ever caught or umpired. You know, Akins has a good fastball. And even if you're wearing that and that mask, well, you know, it's made to keep you from getting a broken bone, but it's not made to keep you from getting rattled. Quickly, body's moving out there in the pen. Horsley, I believe, is probably catching. Looks like Billy's up. Looks like Billy Plummer is getting loose. Swings and misses that one. Good strikeout for Akins. He needed that. So Hamm, the nine-hitter, goes down on strikes. One out now. Runners on first and second for Eric Smelko. Smelko was 0 for tonight. But he has been a pesky leadoff hitter in this series. Colt 45s have not had a ton of base runners, but leaving too many on again, I think. Swung on, bounced towards short. Could be two. Kadama to McCoy. Low throw, scooped out by Tweet. A 6-4-3 twin killing ends the top of the sixth. They get one run on three hits, no errors, and a man left on base. We go now to the bottom of the sixth. Let's see if the Colt 45s can ride that one to something good. You're listening to Reading Baseball on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Come on, let's sit down together.
I could stay here forever. Friendly smiles, family and friends, place piled high with happiness. Like bedtime, it feels like home to me. Can't explain it, you just have to see. Like home.
And now back to more Colt 45 baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
A new fun game for the kids between innings there. A beach ball race. They had to hold this beach ball between their legs and go out and run around Connor McCoy, who was out there. Homer's on vacation, so got around Connor McCoy to get back for a prize. So, pretty cool. We have a new pitcher in the game. I'm more interested in the beach ball game. But I'm told that the new pitcher is a big guy, Jordan Forrester, big right-hander. We'll learn a little bit more about him. He will face Tanner Tweet to start things off. First look at Forrester in this series. On the season, he's 1-2. This is his fourth appearance of a 6.35 earned run average. And 11 and a third, he's allowed 14 hits, 8 earned runs. He's walked 6 and a dozen strikeouts. First pitch, swung on, drilled into left field, base hit. Tanner Tweet not goofing around. So he's back on the hit parade. Good to see that. His first hit of the night. Chris Brew now to the plate. Bouncing to a 1-6-3 double play. You have to give credit to that starting pitcher for them, who did such a good job and, in fact, started that DP. Vagel, the books closed on him 5 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Right now the game is his. He stands to be the winning pitcher. If the Colt 45s can't make a mess of that, which would be what fans here want to see. First pitch to Chris Brew over for a strike, 0-1. Hey, tonight's Redding Family Medical Group night over at the Third Base Club Pavilion. Redding Family Medical Group, offices of Dr. Short, Dr. Harden, Dr. Maples, Dr. T. Sullivan, Dr. Bonnet, Dr. R. Sullivan, Dr. J. Ratnam, taking care of Redding for more than 38 years. Glad to see Redding Family Medical Group out in the Third Base Club VIP. Go to ReddingColt45s.com to learn more about how you can enjoy the pavilion. 0-2 pitch. Brew takes one outside over at first base. Tweet was faking the steal. He has good speed. Right now, I don't want to take the bat out of anybody's hands. Needing 5 runs. Don't have to get them all at once. This is the bottom of the 6th. So almost half a game left if you look at it properly. Takes out one for a ball, 2-2. Jordan Forrester, 6'3". He's a little beard. I think a lot of these guys have beards after being here 3 days. Bounced left side, shortstop, bobbles it, makes a long throw, doesn't get him. It was in the hole. He really had to range to get it. I'm not sure what they're going to rule it. We'll wait and see. It would have been a tough play, but probably is an error, and it is. It would be kind of a homer deal if you gave him a hit there, especially considering Brew doesn't have great speed, and that does hurt you in that because the official scorekeeper says has to look at it as would a reasonable effort resulted in an out. And he almost, it wasn't close when he made the throw. He was thinking he might have been able to get a double play, but that wasn't in the cards. E6, 2 on, nobody out. Here's Machuca. Misses low on his first pitch, 1-0. Forrester again, trying to get on the same page. Bounces one up with his catcher, and it gets away. Masio tried to block it. It hit him a couple of times, but got away. It's now a 2-0 count. Men on second and third on the wild pitch, and Machuca you know, a little base hit, and all of a sudden you got some bingo going. Brew does not run extremely well, but Tweet would be a threat to score on a fly ball on a sack. He's solid base runner. That one misses low. 3-0. So now they might be pitching around Machuca a little bit here. Nobody up in the bullpen. Forrester pitches for Folsom Lake College. Fastball. High chopper, first base side. Run's going to score as he fields it over there at first and steps on the bag. Really no other play for Giacomini. And give him an RBI. So the three unassisted brings in Tanner Tweet. And it brings up Kyle Schrodel. Kyle looking for his first hit of the night. Right-handed batter stands in. Runner at third and Forrester working from the stretch. Shows some pretty good heat there, but it was up and away. She looked a little frustrated. Saw some frustration there in his mannerism afterwards. He wears the stocking tie, as does the man at the plate, Kyle Schrodel. 1-0 pitch. That one's low, 2-0. The Folsom Lake College Falcons, or if you mispronounce it, the Falcons. The Falcons. Forrester out of Columbia, Idaho. Swung on, hit to center. Bayana going to tag. The catch is made. Andy coming in. The throw hits the cutoff man. Slides ahead of the relay. And it's now 7-4. And that's how you do it. So give the sacrifice fly and RBI. Schrodel does his job. And Connor McCoy. And not to be unkind, but with the number of strikeouts that the Colt 45s have had this year, good things happen when you put the ball in play, even if it's just moving a guy over on an infield out or getting a sack fly. You give your team a chance. Here's the kid, Connor McCoy, looking for a three-hit day. Slow roller to second, going to be close. Fielded the throw. He just did get him over at first base. McCoy hustling down the line, but well played at second base. Colt 45's got a couple of runs on a hit. It was an error that helped it along. We go now to the top of the seventh. It's getting closer. You like that, don't you? It's 7-4. This is KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Hi, I'm Dan Scott, owner of Eagle Eye Painting. Spring is traditionally a time for home improvement projects. A new paint job is a great place to start. At Eagle Eye Painting, we handle interior, exterior, and cabinets. Plus, we offer minor repairs for drywall and dry rot. We are fully licensed, bonded, insured, and do residential and commercial painting. Please visit our website at danscottpainting.com and read the customer reviews. Then give us a call at 400-5152 to schedule a free estimate. We would love the chance to do a great job for you. Call us today, 400-5152, Eagle Eye Painting.
Learning is fun at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. for Little Explorers, a hands-on learning program for children ages 2 to 5. Stories, crafts, and so much more. There's a new theme every month. Looking for something fun to do on the weekend? In addition to ongoing exhibits, Turtle Bay offers family and science programs every second and third Saturday each month, included with admission and always free for members. Don't miss out. Visit turtlebay.org for more information.
Colt 45's baseball comes your way exclusively on KCNR Shasta Redding.
Top of the seventh, Colt 45's going to hold them right here. Aikens back out to pitch. Baseball scoreboard, middle of the eighth now. Rangers lead the White Sox 6-5. Giants on top of the D-backs in the fifth, 5-4. The Twins, we told you earlier, beat the Royals 5-3. We'll just get you those scores. Cardinals over the Angels 4-2. Mets whip the Cubs 10-2 at Wrigley. Marlins on top of the Phillies 5-3. Harper and Hoskins both homered in that one for the losing Phillies. Riddle homered for Miami. Still want to call them Florida. The Blue Jays beat the Red Sox 8-7. Pirates over the Padres 6-3. It was the A's holding on to win that one 4-2 over the Rays. Chapman got a homer. And the Orioles beat the Mariners 8-4. It was the Indians shutting out the Tigers 2-0. Leadoff hitter here off of Akins, and you heard the noise to start the seventh is Cody Banks. And Banks has been a thorn in the side with there's the RBI or the single to left to lead things off. He had the big 3-1 homer in the second. Brewers beat the Reds 6-5. Braves over the Nationals 13-9. That is the final. Braves got 9 of those runs after the sixth. That's maybe some good vibe juju for the Colt 45s if they could do the same. Akins checks a runner at first. Good hack there for Orr, the number 3 hitter. Yankees beat the Astros, and here's the one you've been waiting for. Yep, in the 11th, Verdugo delivered the walk-off homer. The Dodgers beat the Rockies 5-4. The Blue, man, they must be living right down there in Los Angeles. 0-1 pitch. Curveball swung on, line towards right. Bayena back, reaches up and makes the catch for out number one. Woo! That's one of those where everybody kind of just was holding their breath because Andy took a similar to last night, the ball just kind of ran off on him a little bit, and he had to reach up and grab it, but he grabbed it. And Banks holds it, is, of course, still at first base. Jeff Giacomini at the plate. Nothing many about him. I mean that in the nicest way. He's a big fella. Right-handed batter awaits the 0-1. Choking up tonight. Takes first pitch, hits the mitt. 0-2. Oh, yeah, he's the beer batter. You heard that in the background. Billy Plummer getting loose. He was scheduled to be on the starter. It's been fun to see some of the developments in his pitching style. He's been working on going a little more three-quarter with his delivery. That one, high and tight, backs him off. Actually, that was second pitch. It's 1-1. I said 0-2. It's now 1-1. Aikens looks over at the runner at first. Banks not going anywhere. Fastball, that one a little low outside, 2-1. In Vegas, Rivercats trailing now, 3-2, bottom six. 2-1 pitch here in Redding, California. Colt 45's trailing 7-4, runner on. Line drive back through the box. Akins sticks his glove out but can't get his mitt on it, and it's a line drive single. 2 on and 1 out now, with minute first and second. And this is happening with the middle of their order, so just don't want this thing to get out of reach again. The right-handed batter, Holiday, their leading hitter, comes to the plate. And he is 0-3. First pitch to him, he took a pretty good cut. He's been up there taking his hacks tonight. I mean, first pitch, I'm pretty sure he is hacked at it hard the first time up each time. He does have, he struck out twice in his three at-bats. He flew to right back in the second in his first at-bat. 0-1 pitch coming. Bounced up there. Jordan just pressing a little bit, I believe. 1-1. Schrodel took that one in his shoulder. He got hit there on the glove side shoulder last night as well. It's that spot that's just not quite covered by the catching gear. Some catchers will wear an extra flap on it, but Kyle doesn't. And it's on the front of your deltoid. So if you were to reach your arm up, it's like a collection of ligaments and muscles. The shoulder is very complicated. It hurts. I mean, it's a stinger. And his glove hand he got one of those last night and showed me. You could see the spot where it got him, had a bad bruise. I think he just got another one right in that same spot. That's life behind the plate. Ball and a strike to pitch. Big curve, almost got away. And Kyle reached up and grabbed it. 2-1. Plummer out working in the pen. Not sure quite yet if he's ready. He looks like he's ready. He's looking in to see what the situation is. Swung on, hit toward short, and it gets past Kadama into center field. Runner going to be held at third, but we have the bases loaded and one out here in the seventh. Banks at third, Giacomini at second. I thought for a moment that Kodama might have a chance to turn that thing. He didn't. It got through too quickly. If it's, of course, 4 feet, maybe, to the left, Kodama has a shot at turning a double play there. And that's baseball. Just a matter of a few feet here and there, a few inches sometimes. They say it's a game of inches. So the bases are loaded. Varek Fasking out to talk things over with, brings his whole infield in. And this is a game moment right here. They've succeeded in this situation at times. They have not succeeded at times. And with the bases loaded, you've battled to get back in it. It's a 7-4 game. And you need an out. You need a double play. You need something here. And now Billy Plummer should be ready if needed. Varek Fasking is done chatting it over, looks to the pen, believes that they're ready to go out there. And now Kyle Schrodel continues talking to his pitcher out on the mound. They're ready to get at it. So Banks at third, Giacomini at second, Holiday at first. And Carter Koch at the plate. He singled and scored in the sixth, walked and scored in the second, struck out in the third. Left-handed batter. Big moment here for Jordan Akins. Shakes his head. Yes, I have the sign. Working from the wine. Big kick. Fastball. Popped left side. Machuca wandering over near the left field foul line. Reaches up. And he did make the catch, apparently. The run does score. I say that because the runner is still first. So they're two outs now. It's 8-4. The sacrifice by Fly does bring in a run. Machuca made the catch. He's getting more and more comfortable in the outfield. If you've primarily been a catcher, I'm telling you, the outfield's not big a deal. Brendan Roop is showing him, hit me on the cutoff man, hit me. And he did. He sailed it past the cutoff man. Machuca has a gun, but they had no chance to get the runner to play. Again, learning experience. So Bank scores. It's 8-4. Carvalho takes first pitch over for a strike. Giacomini did move up to third on the throw, and if he hits the cutoff man, Giacomini doesn't get to third. And that's what Roop is trying to tell him. Holiday at first. Up and in, 1-1. Carvalho doubled and singled, so he has tripled his hit output for the year. Not picking on you, man. Glad to see you do it, but do it against somebody else, would you? I know he's got some folks listening back in Humboldt County, but it is what it is. You know, he's gotten his two-hit game tonight, and he had been struggling since joining them to get the hits. Just like to see him do it against somebody else. Ball two, strike count now coming. Two outs. See if they can get out of it without any further to do. Strike three. Watched it. Didn't like it. Smiled at the umpire and shook his head. Yep. That was the third strike. Yeah, it was. And Jordan Akins gets out of it. So that's the positive. They do get one run on three hits. They leave them at two men on base, and the Colt 45s are going to enjoy the seventh inning stretch. You do the same at home, would you? We'll be back with more baseball on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. North State Now is brought to you by Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, every Thursday night at 6 p.m., right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
And now back to more Colt 45's baseball action on KCNR AM 1460.
Bottom of the seventh, Andy Baena leading things off, trying to get some base runners. Showing bunt, pulls the third baseman in, but pulls it back. And the pitch was called a strike. At least he got their attention. And that's the job of a guy trying to get on base. Forster in the second inning of work. That one fouled back. Now quickly out in front of 1-2. Jordan Forster, the right-hander on the mound. They list him at 6'2", 210. He's out of Nampa, Idaho. Went to Columbia, Idaho High School. His freshman year for the Folsom Lake College Falcons, the right-hander pitched in 11 games. Was 0-1, 6.43 ERA. Swung on, blooped right field, hooks foul down the line. In 21 collegiate innings, he struck out 10. And obviously, big kid. You know, pitched, they had a tough schedule, pitched against some pretty good teams, played against some pretty good teams. That includes Sac City and others on their schedule. In the California Community College Athletic Association. So, Baena, down in the count 0-2. Thompson on deck. Kadama to hit third. Swung on, high chopper, left side. Third baseman fields it. Makes the strong throw and just got him. Good speed for Baena, but well played at third base by Cavallo. Now bring up Tyler Thompson, who's found his way to the base paths a couple of times. Singled. He's one for three. Got robbed in the fifth. You got to tip your cap to their starting pitcher. He did a snagged one that was right back at him. And Tyler Thompson actually was tipped his cap a little bit to him. He knew he'd hit it well. Lines and delivers off speed outside corner. Looked like a cutter. Called for a strike. 0-1. Colt 45s need to get something going here. Bottom seven, trailing by four. On a gorgeous night for baseball. Nice cut for Thompson. Good quick hands there, but didn't get it. 0-2. He'll have to protect that dish now. He has been textbook with that for the most part this year. And I know many of his teammates should probably watch because they've had a problem with the whiff this summer. Thompson takes one low, 1-2. But Tyler able to work deep in a count, but has a very good eye and a good approach at the plate. And is able to get on base. That's his job. Here comes a 1-2 pitch now. Left-handed batter waits. Forster, big leg kick, fastball. Oh, did I speak too soon? He took his cut. It was just a good fastball. He snuck that one by him, strike three. Tip your cap sometime to the pitcher when he beats you, and that's what happened there. Kadama at the plate now. Needing to get something going with two down. Colt 45's got a two-out RBI single from Kadama in the fifth. Maybe he's the guy to get it started with two outs here in the seventh. Left-handed batter takes the first pitch for a ball, then gets a changeup. Takes that one over for a strike. He wasn't looking for either of those pitches. You don't have to swing at him. Not looking for him, especially early in the count. That one gets away from the catcher, 2-1.
Guess what?
I sense some cowbell coming. Julian out of Edmonds, Washington. That one's bounced up there. Count now 3-1. If you haven't heard me talking about it, the information on his bio on our website, you can learn about most of our players have some biographical information. You can learn about Julian's freshman campaign with the NCAA Division I Seattle University Redhawks. Swings and hits this one high, but no wind to speak of to the opposite field. So it'll just wind up being a can of corn for their left fielder, Holiday, and out number three. Pretty good, just not good enough. All right, heading to the top of the eighth. Colt 45s need to hold them right where they're at. Looks like we're going to have Billy Plummer come in the game. We'll tell you all about him when we return. Colt 45 trailing 8-4. This is Reading Colt 45 baseball on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
You're listening to Colt 45 Baseball on AM 1460 KCNR.
Well, it looks like Jordan Akins is actually going into left field, so that's probably not good news with Machuca's glove hand bothering him. Hopefully he's okay. But Billy Plummer going to come in and pitch. The right-hander has been working on his pitching. That's what he's concentrating on this summer. Feels like that's his future in the college game and perhaps beyond. He pitched two shutout innings in the opening game of the series, did walk a couple of guys, but Billy has been working with renowned Major League pitching coach, former big league pitching coach, and former big league pitcher down in the San Diego area, Tom House. Trivia, of course, I'll repeat it. He's a guy who caught Hank Aaron's record-breaking home run out in the bullpen for the Braves. I know that because I was a kid watching those teams play. But, Billy, one thing I noticed, and haven't really talked deeply about him, but he's definitely going deeper in his delivery. He's a big guy, great baseball body, and former catcher, as his dad's body. And he's a big, tall, strong arm. But they have him kind of going deeper in both his delivery, looks like in his stride, and in his arm slot. It looks like he's coming down more three-quarter. And I may just be watching it closer now, but we'll see as he continues to try to develop. They need a 1-2-3 in front of him. He's got him in it, got it in him. Matt Masio lead things off. Fastball's up. Just a little bit upside. He hit the Bull Durham mascot with that one. So he puts the fear in the leadoff hitter, and now Billy's back out. Working from the stretch. 1-0 count. Coming to the right-handed hitter. Masio has a couple of singles tonight. He's 2-for-3. That one's over for a strike. plumber with this delivery, too, it almost he explodes kind of out of his stretch. And so the ball stays hidden. I think it's got to be hard. He flashes it when he cocks it back again behind him. But then I think it's really on you in a hurry because he is taller. Really getting the stride out. So interesting to see how the hitters approach. That one's fouled back, 1-2. Top of the eighth, Cole 45 trailing by four. If they can hold them here, they've got the middle of their order coming up. Breaking ball popped up out of play right side. Oh, there's a new one. That sound effect must, I'm not sure what it represents. And that's what it sounds like when it hits a trash can. I don't know. It's kind of a boing. Ball two strikes now. The count. Base is empty. Fastball popped again right side. The number nine hitter, Mateo Hamm, on deck. So Akins will now be batting in the cleanup spot, by the way, or the number five spot. Breaking ball, that was way inside. That wasn't the case of somebody leaning into one. It hit him, and it got meat on his front leg, and he'd new baseballs. The home plate umpire's coming out to say something to Barrett Fasking, and I have no idea what that is. He's talking to him about something. I don't know what. And it may be something that the opposing manager was asking, and now Barrick is kind of talking to St. John over there, who's in the third base coach's box. It may have been something said between them. Who knows? These guys are all competitors. That hurt. I don't think there's any doubt that hurt. That ball hit him in the meat. Masio at first now. Nobody out. Hamm at the plate, right-handed hitter. Fastball. That one's in the mitt. Perfect strike. 0-1. Checking the runner at first. Masio wouldn't likely be going anywhere. You wouldn't mind it because, hey, he's going. Now can you throw him out? Schrodel's throw a little bit offline, and he just got a really good break. Billy didn't really give him a look. I asked for it, and they delivered it. Unfortunately, it had a different result than I thought might happen. Masio just stole that one on Plummer. There's no doubt. Mateo Hamm looking for his first hit of the night. Struck out twice, but he did reach base on one of those strikeouts and eventually scored. He got away from the catcher and the throw to first was not handled or didn't get him. Be the best way to put it. That one's over for a strike now, 1-2. Hamm, the nine-hole hitter, choking up on the bat. Plummer has good heat. Here comes that 1-2 pitch. Fastball, bounced sharply to second. McCoy bobbles it, but has time, throws him out at first. Runner moves to third, one down now, and a man in third base on the infield out. That brings up Eric Smelko. Smelko batting left. Switch hitter against the right-handed Plummer. Action in the pen. It's a right-hander, and it might be Horsley. Let's see. Yep, it's Nick Horsley getting loose. Nick throws hard, primarily a catcher here, but he has pitched in the game this year and looked good. And they have another game tomorrow, so I don't really want to waste any pitchers, but keep him right here. 8-4. Infield is in. Big curveball over for a strike. Started him off with a different look there. If he does get the bat on the ball, and if you're in the infield, you just knock it down. Whatever you do, don't let it get past you. That one's a little away. 1-1. I mean, it's the scenario where in the infield, you leave your feet, even if you're not going to get that out at first on a ground ball. Just don't want it to get past you because you want to keep that guy at third. You want to get an out, obviously. Fastball. Oh, it gets back there, but Trotel was able to get on it quickly. It drew concrete once it got behind him and bounced right back out to him. And Kyle played the carom well. There's a 2-1 count. Again, these are all growing moments for these young players. This is one for Billy, learning to be a pitcher. I mean, he'd pitched before, but at this level. And here's a 2-1 pitch. Runner at third, infield in, fastball swung on, sharply hit first base side, foul. 2-2. Action, whole bunch of bodies kind of moving around in the bullpen for the Bombers. Horsley throwing with Brett Miller, former catcher, of course, at Simpson and the college level, and one of the coaches on this club. Bullpen catching him tonight. Big curve missed high. The count now runs full. Crowd trying to encourage Plummer. You want to figure out a way to get this guy. Smilko away. Fastball. He was whacking at it. Missed it. Tipped it. Count stays at 3-2. Banks on deck. So as I mentioned before, Aikens goes in to be the designated hitter. They lose the DH. So essentially he moves into Brew's spot as the left fielder. And I'm not sure how that's going to work. All right, 3-2 pitch. I mean, swung on. Missed the strikeout, but can he get him at first? He throws it down. Tweet does complete it with the throw from Strodel, so the runner holds to third. Everything turned out okay. But forgive me if recent memory hasn't kind of clouded confidence that that was going to work out well. Nicely played both by Kyle Strodel and Tanner Tweet. So now two are out, the runner still at third, and Plummer facing Cody Banks, who's 2-for-5. Since striking out in the first, he's homered and singled. That one missed away. You don't want to see Brian Orr tonight. He's on deck. You don't want to see him in this inning. Colt 45 is going to keep it right where it's at. There's a fastball. Came inside on it. Missed high. Billy out of Foothill High School, Palisadro High School. Foothill in Palisadro. You knew what I was saying if you're from here. From the stretch, fastball popped up right side. Baena coming in, the second baseman. McCoy going back. Baena calls him off and makes the catch for out number three. So no damage done. No runs. No hits. No errors. A hit batter left on base. We go to the bottom of the eighth. Colt 45s need to get that offense going. Trailing 8-4 on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
The Cascade Theater presents 4 free films and a whole lot of fun this July with the Kids Summer Movie Club. Every Sunday afternoon in July, the theater opens the door at 2 with completely free admission for everybody. Turtle Bay will be there to show off some animals and hand out prizes. There's activities and then the film at 3, featuring Monsters, Inc., WALL-E, Cars, and Brave. 4 films, 4 Sundays in July, sponsored by JPR, KIXE, First 5 Shasta, and Turtle Bay. See you there.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
And now back to more Colt 45 Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Colt 45's needing to get something going here. And I believe they're facing a new pitcher. Taking a look at that information for you here in a second. Now finally their catcher is back out there to get him loose. I'll tell you who it is, the right-hander. He doesn't really want me to see his number for whatever reason, so we'll figure it out. So the new pitcher is Luis Pimentel. Pimentel, a right-hander. Bagel started, pitched well. And he still would be the pitcher of record if Gold 45s can't complete the comeback. So Pimentel, a right-handed pitcher. Let's see what his stats are. This is his fourth appearance. He's 0-1, a dozen innings. He's allowed 11 hits, three earned runs, and a 2.25 earned run average. He struck out 10, walked 3. Now, this is his first relief appearance. He'd started 3 games. They don't have a game tomorrow. That's a Gold 45 still. Pimentel has had one bugaboo, and that is the hit batter. He's hit 4 guys in 12 innings. Brendan Roop leading it off. I think they may have the batting order. I believe Plummer's going to have to hit in the 5 spot or be pinch hit 4. They don't really have much in the – they don't have many extra bodies over there with some of the injuries. They would have to hit Horsley, and Horsley's getting loose, probably to replace Plummer. We'll just have to see. First pitch was fouled back, and now Roop awaits the 0-1 delivery. Pretty good-looking fastball from this kid, Pimentel. It missed, 1-1. Let's see what else he has. He's on his left side of the rubber, the first base side of the rubber. Not uncommon these days. He's got a big frock of hair, and the hat just keeps popping off. My coach in high school, Coach Jordan, would have said, "We got a stapler, son. We'll take care of that for you." That probably wouldn't work today. 2-1 pitch coming to Roop. Fastball. Oh, he was on it, but he fouled it back. Brendan Roop. Tanner Tweed on deck. Pimentel looks in for the sign. Working a little deliberately here. That was a pretty good-looking fastball. Didn't miss by much. Count runs full. Pimentel pitching for College of the Redwoods. There's a couple of guys that pitch for College of the Redwoods. Here comes the 3-2 delivery to Roop. That was a breaking ball called. Strike 3. He just fooled him. Brendan, it was inside. Looked like maybe a slider and started it in on him. Wasn't a big breaker. And didn't protect the plate there. That's a strikeout looking. 6 strikeout of the Colt 45s in this game. Fewer than they've had in recent games. And it brings up Tanner Tweet. Tweet, the right-handed hitter. Tanner with a hit and a walk. 1-for-2 officially tonight. He scored in the 6th. One of the Colt 45's 2 runs that inning. First pitch misses the ball. No strike now. Here comes the next pitch. And it goes back to the screen. Again, Pimentel's hat flying off. And when that becomes an issue for a player, they got to solve that. I mean, you know, it's what managers teach young men. If you want to pitch, you got to be able to keep your hat on, man. 2-0 pitch coming from Pimentel. Swung on, fouled it off. Crowds held about halfway here. And They're a little quiet. They're trying to get it going with the cowbell. Here comes a 2-1 pitch. Breaking ball hit third base side, but foul. And it does look like Horsley has a bat. I'm not sure how you put Akins in the 5-hole. So it looks like they put Akins in the 5-hole and then put the pitcher in the 6-spot. The pitcher would be Horsley because they lost the DH. But that's the way it's looking. Akins is on deck. Horsley has a bat in the hole, and he's been warming up, so he'll be the new pitcher. Here comes a 3-2 pitch. Swung on and missed. He struck him out. He'll change up away. He reached out for it, just got it past him. Just took a little bit off that one. Might have just been a cutter, too. But at least he took a hack at it. That is actually 8 consecutive hitters put down since the first 2 guys got on in the 6th. Now here's Jordan Akins. He came in to pitch and then had to go into left field. So when he did that, they lost the DH. The pitcher now batting in Machuca's spot. Machuca had to come out. He's had a hand problem. So that's a defensive move. But that means that Horsley, the new pitcher, is on deck. He's going to come in. Swung on. Hit 3-hopper to first. But Giacomini is able to get down on one knee and grab it for out number 3. Hit well, but I think it's bad wood now. He broke that bat. Cole 45 is going to have to come up with some ninth inning magic tonight. Hey, hey, it's 8-4, heading to the ninth. This is KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with 2 full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
So technically they didn't actually have Horsley in the game yet, if that position had come up to hit, because Billy has not been taking batting practice. I mean, he's been a position player all his life, but since Plummer hadn't been taking batting practice, they didn't want him to swing, and Horsley was ready, so if it had come up, they would have Horsley bat, and then he would have gone in to pitch. The pitcher's spot is due up to lead off the ninth inning. So we will probably see Horsley bat. The only other pinch hitters you've got available, Peyton Edwards is hurt. And Velarde is not with the club. He gets back from Hawaii. He had a previous absence from the team planned. Otherwise, Eamon would be a pinch hitter, pinch hit possibility. So Billy Plummer going to continue. Didn't allow any hits in the 8th. Did hit a batter. And Brian Orr leads it off. Takes first pitch for a strike. Orr singled back in the 1st off his old teammate, current teammate in college. And he's nothing to show for it since then. He's 1-for-4. 0-1. There's a curve. 1-1. The right-handed batter waits. Plummer working from the stretch. Good fastball. Got it up. Swung at it. Fouled it back. 1-2. Colt 45 is going to need to play some catch-up. I mean, they were in last night's game, obviously. They got closer in the previous night's game, but need some magic in the ninth tonight. Big curve. Did it hit him? It did. So Billy hits his second batter since coming in. Thing is, the breaking ball getting away from him. And so man on base, or to lead things off in the ninth. Billy hit the first batter in the eighth as well. So Giacomini comes to the plate. He has one hit and four official at-bats. First pitch to this right-handed batter. Fastball misses away, 1-0. Back in the bullpen again. I believe Horsley's getting loose again, just trying to stay loose. If needed. 1-0. Swung on, hit sharply towards third. It's a fair ball. Gets past Roop into the corner. It'll be a base hit as Akins was quick to get it, keep it from bouncing around out in that corner in left field. But with nobody out, two are on in the ninth. Got to hold them right here. That one was well hit. First hit off of Plummer. Braden Holiday now. He's got a stick. Big right-handed batter stands in. They're looking for insurance. Cole 45s are looking for, I don't know, a triple play would be nice, but a double play would be even better because it's more likely. That one's up and away. Again, Billy Plummer working on new things. He looks good, but still a little bit, you know, uncomfortable. Work in progress. It's not as easy as it looks, folks. Got that great fastball. Good body. 1-0 pitch. Did it hit him? It got away from the catcher, Schrodel, and everybody moves up. And that puts two in scoring position, nobody out. And see what Fasking's going to do. They're going to play in. I mean, this guy's such trouble. You wonder if they might think about just putting him on, get yourself a force somewhere. The 2-0 pitch. Infield comes in. Everybody's there to knock it down. Fastball swung on, lined it, Tweet, but he got it out number one. Tanner Tweet just flicked his glove up. Didn't even flinch. I would have been scared. But that's why I'm sitting up here, right? Out number one, Carter Kognat at the plate. Infield still playing in. Left-handed batter. Has pretty good speed. He drove in a run with that sack fly to left back in the seventh. It was well played out there by Machuca, but that was when maybe he started seeing signs that glove hand's really bothering him. And you need Jacob tomorrow, so you got to get him some ice on that hand. 0-1 pitch coming. Fastball popped up, but it's going to be out of play. Over by the clubhouse, third base side, that's behind the home dugout. Now out in front, 0-2. Plummer just trying to get in the groove here. Quickly on the rubber. Koch now stands in. Waves the bat low. Now above his head. Waits. Breaking ball. Nope. 1-2. He's missing badly with the curve. It's a left-handed batter, so no harm, no foul, but he hit the leadoff guy here with a breaking ball. He's just not getting it there. That's fastball. Bounce right side. Tweet tries to knock it down, but it gets through the hole. That would have been a hit either way, infield in or not. A runner's going to try to come in and score. Giacomini rounding third, and he will stand. The wild pitch hurts him there. Both runs scoring. It is now 10-4. We have no idea what the error would be. They flashed hit and error. And the coach, the manager of the visiting team, is going out and arguing with the umpire about something. I have no idea what it's about. St. John's being sent back over there. Now here we have some The second runner was ruled to be out. So, not sure what he did. I didn't hear it. But, so, only one run scores. So, that's the good news. The second runner is ruled out. That means there's two outs. So, he could have interfered. If he interfered with a defensive player. But St. John didn't like it, that's for sure. Ball gets away. Another wild pitch. Koch moves up to second. So you have man on second base, but two outs now. Two ball, no strike count on Antonio Cavallo. He waits. He's going to have a couple of knocks tonight. That's a fastball over, 2-1. Minor league baseball, River Cats and Las Vegas tied at 3 in Sin City. That one in the ninth now. We'll have a final for you in our postgame show. Off speed, swung on, missed. That curve was over the plate. Count runs to 2-2. With two down, you want to end it right here and then get your bats going. 2-2. Here it comes. Big curve. Oh, he almost hit him. 3-2. Cavallo was basically just going to let it hit him if it hit him. Now, the second runner, apparently, we're getting an update. They did not tag. Touch second base. And there's a called strike three. So Billy gets out of it. And they get just the one run here in the ninth. As we head to the bottom of the ninth, the Colt 45s have to play catch up now. You're listening to Reading Colt 45s Baseball on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
And now back to more Colt 45's baseball action on KCNR AM 1460.
The Colt 45s are going to need to do something special here in the bottom of the ninth. Hey, it's as good a time as any to do it, right? Machuca's out. Nick Horsley's going to pinch hit now. And if needed, if they're able to tie it and send it to extra innings, trailing 9-4, they put a 5 spot up, then Horsley would stay in the game as the pitcher. See how that all worked out? Kyle Schrodel on deck, and Connor McCoy hits third. Everybody would have to hit to get back in this game. And we have another new pitcher. They're pulling out the stops. Keegan Beebe back in. We've seen Beebe. You know, he has good stuff. He's probably trying to help him forget. Well, he did get the win yesterday. Actually, let me rephrase that. They're trying to hope he remembers what he did yesterday, 2 days ago, when he went 3, allowed 1 hit, 1 walk, and struck out 5 in earning the win in game 1. He has the stuff. Horsley stands in. Nick saw him in that game. So he's had a look at him. So Keegan Beebe in the game. This is his second appearance. That first game, no earned runs against him. Second appearance since joining the club, and good fastball, misses inside though, 1-0. You need base runners, but you need hits too. Had base runners last night, but couldn't get the hits. 1-0 pitch. That's over for a strike, 1-1. Schrodel, as I said, and then McCoy. Thought about going after that one. Didn't. Good thing he didn't. It's 2-1 now. So Nick kind of broke off the schneid last night, got a hit. You take it any way you can get it. He'd been struggling for a few games, and see if he can keep it going here. That one's inside. Oh, no, it's called strike two. Oliver Gunn uses a silencer on his calls. Do you see what I did there? Oliver Gunn uses a silencer on his strike calls. Thanks for laughing. Check swing, or I'm sorry, chokes up. Bouncing ball hit towards short, but Koch to his left fields it. He throws it and gets him. That's actually, I believe Banks has moved over there. They've made a couple of defensive changes. Koch, I think, has moved to second base. I have no idea why, but they just did it to confuse me. And I know it because Banks has a beard and Koch doesn't. The guy with the beard fielded that, and that is out number one. So I'm hoping, as a fan of baseball, that Colt 45s can come on back in there and Horsley would get to bat again and perhaps pitch again. But a whole lot of things happen to happen first. I'm a glass half full kind of guy, if you haven't figured that out. Kyle Schrodel stands and takes the first pitch for a ball. He had a sacrifice fly, brought in a run in the sixth, looking for his first hit of the night. Takes that one on the inside corner for a called strike, 1-1. Well, a lot of folks still here would like to see that comeback. Swung on, pop towards right, the second baseman. Koch goes back and can't make the catch, so it's a C&I hit. You take it any way you can get it, right? Looks like the line drive in the box score, and Schrodel at first. You're not worrying about moving him along. He means nothing unless it's a pass ball, wild pitch, something like that. You'd like to get out of the double play scenario, but the one thing Schrodel doesn't want to do is get caught off first or caught stealing on the base pass. So Connor McCoy has his first two-hit game as a Colt 45, and he stands in, waits the pitch, and it does get away. So works out well there. Fastball moves Schrodel over to second, and so it eliminates that ground ball double play scenario. McCoy and Baena try to keep it going. Right-handed pitcher from the belt. Ooh, good fastball. He does have a good fastball with some movement. You can see why he's tough. Was tough on the Colt 45s. Keegan Beebe. And something going on. I'm not sure. It may have actually got the catcher. The umpire's going out there to have a little chat with him. Beebe pitches for Mendocino College out of Ukiah High School. Looks in for the sign now. He's back on the rubber. McCoy back in the box. 1-1 pitch. At the belt, kicks and delivers. It's up and away, 2-1. I haven't mentioned this tonight, but better late than never. Justin Sabisma is at third base coaching, and Brett Miller, the first base coach. Here comes a 2-1 pitch. McCoy takes a pitch a little low, Didn't miss by much. 3-1. Colt 45s haven't lost on Saturday night this year. I say that because you want to see if they can come back and get this thing going. And McCoy draws the walk. You have base runners, which is what you need. You have speed out there, and certainly that means a double play would be more difficult. And now you have Andy Bayena, the right-handed batter, coming up, and he has speed. Schroeder moves pretty well at second, but McCoy, fast runner at first. Tyler Thompson would hit next. Andy's hit the ball hard. He had a line drive in left field and back in the fifth. That was his best bet, but it wound up being an out. So he's looking for that first hit of the night. Beebe from the belt. They're not holding runners anywhere. That's a strike. 1-1. And if you're Humboldt B-52s, you don't really care about those runners. You're playing deep in the infield. If you play too deep, though, you're not going to ever get Bayena the way he could fly. Shortstop's deep. Third baseman moves up a little bit. And he's not bunting in this scenario. Ball and a strike to count. Ball and two strikes, excuse me. It was an up-and-down start for Jacob Marquez, but I felt like he looked good. Had one bad inning. He stands as a pitcher of record, however, in this game, as does the starter, Vagel, for the Bombers. 9-4 the score. Colt 45's needing to put a 5 up on the board. One out, two on. Bayena at the plate. Will Cowbell do it? We'll see. And, well, it certainly will not do for their pitcher. He steps off. Now Beebe's ready to go. Now he appears to have the sign. And Bayena is ready to swing. Let's see. Off speed, inside corner, called strike three, and Andy knew it. He was fooled. He was fooled. That was a tough one. Eighth strikeout of the night for the Colt 45's batters. And now Tyler Thompson will come to the plate. Now, he struck out in the seventh, does not strike out that often. And his was one where he took a pretty good cut at it. So it just was a mano a mano, and he lost that particular battle. You'd rather go out that way, I know. First pitch to him's over for a strike. It's going to all have to happen in dramatic fashion. Let's see. No wind to speak of. Not going to get any help on a fly ball. Tyler 1-for-4 on the night. Curveball outside, 1-1. Kodama on deck. He'd like to bat tonight in this ninth inning. 1-1 pitch coming to Tyler Thompson. Big curve. It slipped. It was way high and way outside. And the pitcher knew it before he even finished his delivery. It was almost like, I'm going to turn around and not even watch where that one goes. So two balls and a strike now. Beebe looks in. And the 2-1 delivery. Fastball gets away. Runners will move up. So it won't be any force out to end anything. Didn't hit Tyler. I think Tyler wants to hit. Scooted out of the way of it. So now you have a 3-1 count. And I'm sure here you're looking for fastball or a hanger. Because Beebe's curve has been off and on. That's a fastball. He got it, but pops it up foul territory, third base side. Will it stay in play? Third baseman comes in, winds up making a basket catch. Carvalho does for out number three. Ouch. Well, the Colt 45s got swept by the Bombers. Final in this one is 9-4. We'll be back to recap and look ahead to tomorrow's game. You're listening to Colt 45s Baseball on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This is Carl Lindabot, and there is only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Redding. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
Join us Thursday, July 4th, Independence Day, for Dine and Donate, an Elements Lounge inside Wind River Resort and Casino. Now all you have to do is go in and have dinner at Elements on July 4th, and 10% of all dinner proceeds will go to Haven Humane. Plus, you'll get $5 in free slot play. Hashtag proud to play your part on July 4th. It's Dine and Donate at the Wind River Resort and Casino. Join us then.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. North State Now is brought to you by Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now every Thursday night at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Colt 45's Baseball comes your way exclusively on KCNR Shasta Redding.
Well, let's recap the scoring in tonight's game as the Humboldt B-52s sweep three. Colt 45s are hoping to turn their fortunes next week. We'll talk more about that. The Colt 45s did not draw first blood in this one, as they had. Jacob Marquez sailed through the first, looked good, but in the second got in trouble with one out after walking a guy. Carvalho doubled in a run. And then Matt Mascio, their catcher, singled him in. He hit a batter, Mateo Ham, and with two outs, Cody Banks, their two-hole hitter, came to the plate and ripped a no-doubter, three-run homer to cap a five-run inning. And as it turns out, that pretty much is all they needed. Colt 45s did get a run back in the third after a single, one of two hits on the night for Connor McCoy. A pass ball moved him over to second. Then Baena walked. He was forced out on an infield out, but eventually McCoy came in and scored on Kodama's sacrifice fly to center field. Colt 45s, Bombers scored again in the fourth off of Marquez. First two guys flew to right, but then after a third strike went errant, Mateo Ham was safe at first, an error on the first baseman on a pickoff play, and a wild pitch put him at third, and then an E2 wound up bringing Ham home for that run, and it was an ugly one. That made it 6-2 at that point. 6-1, excuse me. Then in the bottom of the fifth inning, Colt 45s got a run on an RBI single and a stolen base by Kodama. He brought in McCoy, who had his second hit of the game and his first two-hit game of his young Colt 45s career. Top of the sixth, they bounced back. The Bombers got a single from Koch. He went to second on a wild pitch. A single from Carvalho brought him home, and that was that inning. A double play nicely turned by the shortstop Kodama and McCoy, and with Tweet finishing it well, one of the highlights of the night for the Colt 45s. Bombers added another in the seventh. Leadoff single for Banks, single for Giacomini with one out, and Holiday, they loaded him up in a sack fly by Koch, brought in a run. And that at that point, things were starting to look a little ugly. Colt 45s did get those a couple of runs in the sixth that I mentioned, or did I mention those? In the bottom of the sixth, they got a couple back. That was the single by Tweet, an error by their shortstop. Machuca's grounder brought in a run, and then Schrodel's sacrifice fly brought in a run, and that capped the scoring for the Colt 45s. The previous sac fly by Koch in the seventh, the inning that followed. They did add another run in the ninth inning. Hit batter or a single by Giacomini, and a foul out to first. A single by Koch brought in a run, and eventually Carvalho called out on a third strike to end things. The pitching line, the winning pitcher in the contest is Vegas. He went five innings, five hits, two runs, two earned, two walks, four strikeouts. It won't be a save in this one, as BB only pitched one inning and didn't come in and face the go-ahead run or tying run. Colt 45's, the losing pitcher will be Marquez. He had the one bad inning, but it cost him four hits in five innings, six runs, five earned, a walk, and eight strikeouts for Jacob. Aikens pitched two innings, but struggled. Six hits, two runs, two earned, no walks, and two strikeouts. Billy Plummer, two innings, two hits, one run, one earned, no walks, and two strikeouts. So the Colt 45s drop three to Humboldt. You hate it. They fall below 500 at 9-10 for the first time this year. The good news is they get to play again tomorrow. Let's run down the finals in Major League Baseball for you, and then a AAA score, and then we'll send you home with the word on tomorrow. Giants holding on to that 5-4 lead. You can officially watch that game in just a minute when I'm done with the postgame show. Twins 1-10, beat the Royals 5-3. And the Cardinals beat the Angels, I believe. Where is that? Am I looking at it? All I know is it was really cool to see the big guy hit the home run against his old team, Albert Pujols. Mets beat the Cubs 10-2. Marlins over the Phils 5-3. Blue Jays beat the Red Sox 8-7. Pirates beat the Padres 6-3. Machado a homer in the loss. Osuna hit a homer for the Pirates. Athletics beat the Rays 4-2. Orioles over the Mariners 8-4. Villar and Santander homering for the O's in the win. Indians shut out the Tigers 2-0. Brewers edge the Reds 6-5. Braves pounded the Nationals 13-9. Yankees over the Astros 7-5. Stanton back in the lineup and showing some power and defense tonight in that contest. In 11, yes indeed, Dodgers came up with drama. Verdugo with a walk-off. He had four hits and two homers and the walk-off home run in the 11th to lift the boys in blue to the 5-4 win over the Colorado Rockies. Triple-A, they're in the top of the ninth inning. Sacramento's taking a 4-3 lead at Las Vegas. Now, here are the Colt 45s. Your final line, as mentioned before, nine runs, 12 hits, and one error for the visiting Humboldt B-52 Bombers. They left seven men on base. The Colt 45s get four runs, seven hits, two errors, and left five runners on base tonight. Hey, nobody likes to lose, but here's the good thing about baseball. You get to try again tomorrow. And tomorrow, it'll be the Reading Ringtails, a chance for the Colt 45s to avenge an earlier loss. They've split two games so far this season. And we'll bring you that game live. Pre-game show will start at 6. First pitch at 6:15. It's been a beautiful weekend for baseball so far, despite the outcome. If you don't get a chance to come out and enjoy the ball game tomorrow here at Tiger Field, be sure and listen in wherever you are. We do appreciate you joining us. That's your final score, 9-4. The Bombers beat the Colt 45s. I'm Brent Weber from Tiger Field. That's the final. We'll see you tomorrow night on the radio or at the ballpark. Good night, everybody.
In Allied unarmed tankers? I want to ask that to Admiral James Stavridis. You know the Admiral, great contributor to our show, 16th Supreme Allied Commander at NATO, a member of the Carlisle Group, and author of several bestsellers. His next one's coming out in the fall, 10 Admirals and the Voyage of Character. Admiral, did the President show good character last night if this was true?
If that's true, Brian, that he put all the pieces on the table and then pulled back at the last second, that's a mistake. I certainly would not advise that. What it does is it transmits a signal to the international community that there's division and disagreement within the president's inner circle. It highlights the fact that we don't have a Secretary of Defense in place at the moment. And it also it's dispiriting for our troops who come right up to the edge and then are told, whoops, like Lucy and the football, let's pull back. Look, I'm all for solving this thing diplomatically, but a head fake like that doesn't help.
15 minutes ago, I talked to a senior administration official, and I asked, what about the New York Times story is correct? And they said to me, well, the New York Times, just to outline, if you're just waking up right now, essentially, at as late as 7 o'clock Eastern time, the military and diplomatic officials were expecting a strike after intense discussions and debate at the White House among the president's top national security officials and congressional leaders. That happened during the day. I love that he went through that process and read the Democrats in. Officials say the president had initially approved the attack. The operation was underway in its early stages and was called off. Planes were in the air. Ships were in position. The strike was set to take place just before dawn, and they were supposed to hit basically the same sites that took out the drone that was in international waters. I asked the senior official, how sure are you that you weren't across Israeli land? They said, we are 100% positive this was international waters. And they went on to say that the president is taking information on an ongoing basis. It's coming in throughout the day and throughout the night. Read that which it may. So we're sitting here now knowing that they've hit our tankers of our allies. They blew up a drone to the tune of $130 million, but yet our suffocating sanctions are making it as though time is working against them. They're getting weaker by the day. How does that factor into your decision, Admiral?
It certainly is correct that the Iranian economy is collapsing. It's came down 6% over the last 18 months. It's an enormous drop. That's why Iran is lashing out. That's why they have now attacked 6 allied tankers over the last 5 weeks. That's why they have escalated this and shot down this very expensive, very large drone. Brian, this thing has the wingspan of a 737. And it is, thirdly, it is why we are seeing them, in my view, continuing to prod and poke us. And we have got to take the path of bringing our allies on board. And when we say we're going to retaliate, we've got to retaliate. And frankly, a proportional strike going against the air defense site that shot down that drone was the right move. I was surprised to see us pull back from that one.
The story goes, and Scott denied, Trump's national security advisors were split about whether to respond militarily. Senior officials said Pompeo and Bolton were on the same side, along with CIA Director Gina Haspel. They favored a military response, but top Pentagon officials were very cautious about doing that because they didn't know the response they would get. I imagine you've been in meetings like this a lot throughout your very successful career. Does this sound like the way it took way it happened?
It certainly does, and that's okay. What we want in the Situation Room is everybody being free to speak up. Everybody checks their ego at the door. Nobody is trying to score cheap points with the president. Let's get all the facts on the table, agree, disagree, and we should recognize for President Trump, these are terribly hard decisions. This is the hardest decision a president ever makes, is to launch ordnance, to put young men and women into combat. But what is a problem here is once that decision is made and it's telegraphed quite distinctly, members of the press corps, for example, were told, hang around, something's going to happen tonight. This wasn't hard to interpret what was about to happen, and then you pull back from it, it weakens our negotiating position, and it creates an appearance of that kind of division that we just talked about.
I mean, the analogy I would have, Admiral, I didn't spend my life in the military like you did, is I could walk out of my house and say to myself, I'm not getting in a fight. But when I get punched in the face, I'm in a fight. I have to respond. And when people keep saying the president ran on getting out of Middle East wars, that has nothing to do with this story. Things happen. Countries are challenged. We're being challenged by an adversary that's been an adversary and proud to be so since 1979, that has American blood on its hands. So as I'm coming up here, General Jack Keane, who was read into this or might even have been there, was on with Stuart Varney. He was asked the question, do you know why this strike was called off? And he said, yes, I know exactly. Let's listen.
They received additional information that followed the president's instincts. If you remember, when he was in the Oval Office, he said, you know, my instincts tell me that this could have been a mistake, possibly. But later, they got information that confirmed just that. Really? That the Iranian national leadership was furious with the tactical commander who shot down the drone because they clearly did not want that provocation to take place. Based on those facts, new information to the president, he called off the strike. And I don't think there will be a re-attack based on now the conclusion by the intelligence community that this was not the national leadership's intention to conduct this provocation.
Interesting. Go ahead.
Well, I have great respect for General Keane. He has unparalleled sources of information within the administration. If everything he said is correct, I think that in order to mitigate the damage of the head fake syndrome here, the president ought to come out and clarify exactly that. And frankly, I hope that's true. I hope that the very senior Iranians were in a position of saying, oh, my gosh, we did make a mistake. It just, Brian, it sounds unlikely to me when you look at the escalation we've been watching now and the pressure on the Iranian economy. You know that old saying, Occam's razor, sometimes the simplest answer is the correct one. And the simple answer here is that Iran is continuing to escalate. Could it be that the Iranian leadership is trying to step back from the brink? Maybe. If so, should we let them? Up to a point. But we also have to be mindful, and this is the point you made a moment ago, that if they feel they can attack us with impunity, things will only get worse. So I will await further clarification on General Keane's points if that will be forthcoming from the White House. That would be of great interest, I think, to everybody.
So just to factor my personal experience, after getting off the phone before the show and in the middle of my last show on Fox and Friends, I asked that senior official, is there anything that's not in that story that needs clarification to be brought forward that is abundantly true? They said two things. Number one, the person who wrote the story and was the source for that story was not in the room. And number two is that the president was taking in information on an ongoing basis. But that was the opportunity, if you ask me, to say, yep. Yeah, Brian, the president got information at the last minute, and it made him decide at the last second that this wouldn't be proportionate. He had a good explanation. Now we're seeing a quote from the president, I'm not sure where it came from, that said, I decided not to do the strike because it wouldn't be proportionate. He was told 150 people could die. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It makes sense that we want to avoid collateral damage. So 150 people, if those are civilians and they're innocent of activity, then, yeah, we would call off that strike. And I myself have called off strikes in Libya when I got late-breaking information during the NATO campaign in Libya that there were school children playing in the area or that a series of ambulances had proceeded into a target area. Absolutely, that would be the right decision. If it were a matter of military personnel who are in and around the site, that's a legitimate target, and I would call that a proportional strike. So we'd need more information to understand whether that was a legitimate reason to call it off. Again, if these were civilians, not combatants, the president made the right decision. Again, we're right back where we started. We ought to get an explanation of that to understand what's happening.
And it shouldn't be hard. I mean, this is something. This is a war. So this is not politics. You know, there shouldn't be a nuance to it. Tell us what happened. I mean, the president does in many ways. He tells things. We get a shot at being the president that we never even thought we'd see before. He comes out and talks to the cameras, answers every question. But, you know, Admiral, I'm sure you're worried about the same thing I am. And that is we have an outgoing acting Secretary of Defense, sadly, yes, in the midst of personal scandal. And then we have a new acting Secretary of Defense who is trying to get a hold of the job. We'll take it over officially on Sunday. So this is not a great time not to have a full-time confirmed secretary.
Oh, my gosh. Do you think we need General Mattis back in that chair? I certainly do. The problem with the acting Secretary of Defense, very good record and so on and so forth, but he's now the third person in that chair over the last 6 months. As you say, he's not even in the chair fully yet. Yet he's going over right to NATO and meeting with all our NATO allies. This is not the time to have an empty seat from the Pentagon. president needs to move quickly to correct that.
And Admiral, lastly, this is what I was going to talk about before everything heated up and the drone got shot down. You wrote a column on how the U.S. can keep the Strait of Hormuz open. How?
Three things. International, so bringing our allies on board, getting them back in the game with us opposing Iran. Number two, create more options for the president from the interagency. CIA can do a lot for us. Our cyber command can do a lot for us. And thirdly, work with the private sector. This is really a tanker logistics shipping challenge. We need to set up convoys. We need to do escorts. We need to ensure that we are ready to respond with and alongside the private sector to keep that strait open. There are practical things we have to do in order to do all of that, Brian.
All right. Admirals, very few people that would be better in the planet be better to talk to at a type thing like at a clash like this, potential major clash between Iran and us. It doesn't help that the EU, Russia, and China are meeting how to deal with Iran without us. Admiral James Stavridis. And by the way, he's got a brand new website, AdmiralStav.com. AdmiralStav.com. Admiral, always great to talk to you. Have a great weekend.
Same here, Brian. You too. Bye-bye.
All right, a lot of breaking news. 1-866-408-7669. I've been away, so I missed yesterday, but I was with you Wednesday and Monday. So I want to hear what you have to say. Get on board. Brian Kilmeade Show, Friday.
Politics, current events, and news that affects you. Brian's got a lot more to say. Stay with Brian Kilmeade.
Across America, it's snoring season. 90 million Americans make this sound every night. If you have a blocked or narrow nose, you're more likely to open your mouth to breathe, causing snoring. Introducing an ingenious Australian invention called Mute. Mute is a comfortable nasal device that helps you breathe more easily through your nose and snore less. Put snoring season to bed, America.
For more information, go to mutesnoring.com. Mute. Breathe more. Snore less. Sleep better.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month's supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to forhims.com/guys. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/guys. That's forhims.com/guys for your first month for just $5. forhims.com/guys.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
The decline of moral values in American culture seems to be in sync with the rejection of the teachings of mainstream American churches. According to churchathome.org, most Americans selecting none as their religious affiliation still believe in God, but are disillusioned with modern American Christianity. Churches are seen as too judgmental and too political and not relevant to solving the problems of modern life. We at Pacific Justice Institute work to combat this false perception by showing how real Christianity can practically and lovingly solve problems through the integration of law, politics, and faith.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
One of the forgotten players in the Watergate scandal that brought down the Nixon administration was Democrat Speaker of the House Carl Albert of Oklahoma. Standing only 5'4", he was known as the Little Giant from Little Dixie. In 1992, Albert recalled meeting future presidents Nixon and Kennedy on his first day of Congress.
Nixon walked across from the Republican side of the aisle and shook hands with me and asked me if he had a college contest similar to the high school, and I won that one. And he asked me if I was the one who won that contest. And I said, yes. He said, well, he tried out for it later on, but he didn't get that far. John Kennedy came over to me and introduced himself, and he said, are you the Oklahoma boy that was a Rhodes Scholar? I said, yes. He said, well, I met several Rhodes Scholars. So I met them both the first day.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. He's so busy, he'll make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
So this aversion to a conflict with Iran is going to lead to a major war if somebody doesn't rein them back in, and that somebody is the United States. So if I were the president, I would tell the Iranians that there's an attack on a ship or a pipeline or anything like that, we're going to blow up your oil refinery and take you out of the oil business because they're trying to drive up costs for creating chaos. But the main thing is to tell the Iranians, if you go back into enriching the way you were before, that's a direct provocation against the United States and Israel, and we will stop that.
And guess who else will? Israel. So if Iran says we're going to just wait out this president, Israel's not going to wait for anything. And Israel's, if they start enriching again to weapons grade, then Israel will take them out because they know their survival is very much in peril. And then we'll have to follow because we should back up our ally. And you want a war? That's a war. So through Oman, Switzerland, whoever, you have to let them know that's the red line. Number two is I'm just as concerned about the terrorist activities that they do on a regular basis. So I was just shocked. Tucker Carlson had